You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 23 Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am joined today by Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I am doing well. I'm excited to talk about the ratings. I feel like it's a little different this week because I think as the closer we get to the end, the closer we get to the six being the final six, I think the ratings are going to change a little bit because I think that like people won't be thinking about them as part of like an outside duo and also part of the six. It'll just be like individual games. So I'm excited to get to that point. But until we get there, excited to rate now.
Okay. Excited to rate now after a controversial rating last week. Also joining us here this week is Mari. How you doing, Mari?
Hi. Hi, Taryn. Hi, Melissa. Yeah. So you guys decided to crash the stock market last week. I was fine. I had perfectly good stocks. I was good. Yeah. So I'm here. I'm here to get into some really good discourse about what we're seeing in this in-game. And I'm really excited about getting to like really talk about the cookout like in depth and not just bothering Taryn on the live feed updates.
All right. Well, we're here, of course. This is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds. And then we go ahead and we rate the players from 1 to 10 based on how well they're doing in the game, short term, safety wise, long term game. How likely are they to win? We're going to talk about it all here tonight on the roundtable. So let's get into it here for Big Brother 23. We have a week to talk about. Not a lot, has gone on. The weeks are just kind of continuing to churn out here as we just continue to eliminate player after player that is not in the cookout. The last time we talked, we had Derek X on the block looking like he was about to go home. Of course, he did. And now this week, as we said last week, Sarah Beth about to pay for it. Of course, but there are a couple of things that happened here that we can get into, especially if you guys have thoughts that you have not been able to express quite yet. So Tiffany won the HOH. She wants to go after Sarah Beth. She put Sarah Beth and Kyland on the block. Xavier is the third nominee. However, there's still something else that's going to happen. We have to play for the coin of
destiny.
And that's where things theoretically would get tricky, right? There's this power. It allows you to nominate whoever you want anonymously. Oh man, everybody's gonna want this power. Everybody's gonna use this power. What could possibly go wrong, Mari?
Well, they could all get together, decide how to negate the power, and just go on as business as usual. You know, kind of like how they've done every twist for like the past 5 years. Yeah, that's how that goes. Yep. Anybody remember the Tree of Temptation?
I know. Nope. I was just about to say, this reminds me of the Tree of Temptation, where it's like it comes out and we're all like, oh my god, what could happen, the potential, and then it's literally just like, oh yeah, we're actually not going to use this, thanks, like thanks for giving this to us, but like no thanks. It's like, oh my god. And the people who should be using it don't use it. Like, it's like there are still some people left in the game, Claire, that should be doing something with it. And still, they do not. And it's very frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and I certainly want to blame Miss Agency.
I finally have some agency here.
But I am also heaping a lot of blame here on the producers. I just feel like this twist was ill-conceived to begin with. And for as much as we can blame Claire for making the decision that she does, Claire winning the Coin of Destiny and using it to make the same nominations as Tiffany, Kyland, and Sarah Beth, the reality is that Claire probably doesn't win the Coin of Destiny unless she was intending on making those nominations, because there were multiple people that could have played and chose not to, because they knew that she was going to make those nominations and wanted her to waste an HOH week on them. If she had been planning to do anything else, meaning she had secretly in her, you know, own heart, had her own nominations in mind that she was not going to tell her own allies, then maybe they would have, you know, if she had been tricking them into thinking that she was going to do this, maybe they would have let her win. But if not, if she had told them, yeah, I intend to nominate Big D and Azza or something along those lines, then they all would have played and she probably would have lost. She didn't do particularly well in that competition. Mm-hmm. So, and my point there is that, this was basically destined to fail, because that's how these twists work. It doesn't matter how you try to set them up. When you introduce powers in the game, the majority is going to be able to use that power in however they see fit, because they have the numbers to do so.
Yeah. Plus, like, I don't like the idea that the person who wins it doesn't get to play for HOH next week. I feel like it's like the point of it is like it's supposed to be a benefit and not something that is bad for your game. I feel like it just doesn't make sense that way. I mean, I get that people might say, well, you know, it's too powerful then, but it's like, isn't that the point? This is like the Coin of Destiny. It's like they should be able, Claire should now be able to play in the next HOH. And I also think that if there wasn't this, you know, oh, we won't be able to play in the next HOH sort of situation, then more people would have played and maybe it would have come with an interesting result. Like, I don't know. But, you know, at this point, what can you do? I don't know. I just know that, like, I am disappointed with the way that it turned out. It was a situation where it did seem like an interesting idea, and it just, you know, didn't pan out.
And I would also like to say the way the money worked didn't help either. Not just the whole Taryn pointing out how giving your faves 100 basically put a bullseye on their back, but just like Claire almost didn't even have the money to play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the last ditch envelopes, like at the last week, they should have been doing something like that throughout the whole 3 weeks so that more people would have been eligible for the Coin of Destiny anyways. And maybe more people would have taken more risk on going for the first stuff because they would still have money for the last thing. You know what I'm saying? Because by the time we got into this week without those envelopes, only Big D had enough money to really go for it. And then they introduced the envelopes. So we were able to get, like, Hannah was eligible, Claire was eligible. I don't think Tiffany was eligible. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, the money too, because they had to be stingy with the money in the first few weeks, unless it benefited, you know, unless it helped their game, then it truly narrowed the field to that even if it was an anonymous HOH going into the week before the envelopes, we knew, oh, Big D has the money because we're getting rid of Baby D. So they're getting rid of DX. Then only Big D has the money. Oh, we know Xavier went bankrupt. Like, so, you know, it took away that anonymous feature there as well. So it really was not conceived well. But I mean, honestly, how many times have we said that? Like, how many times has Taryn said that on multiple podcasts?
Yeah, it's like just... adding powers into the game of Big Brother and hoping that they aid the underdogs is like if you're watching like a gladiator battle, right? And it's a bunch of trained gladiators, a ton of them versus like a lion or something. And you're throwing swords into the pit, like, pick up the sword, lion, use the sword against the, you're just arming the gladiators. They're going to pick up the swords and use them on the lion. Like, that's, you're not helping.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating because it always ends up seeming to benefit the people who are in power, because they can just like use it to their advantage and you know, figure out a way to, like Mari said, like negate the entire power. And that's not even good TV. Like, it's just, I just don't get the point.
The best thing that came out of the Coin of Destiny was the overly dramatic coin flip. Like, we already knew the outcome, but even I was like, oh my gosh, like they did it. I'm not gonna lie, I love the over dramatic coin
flip. Yeah, it was great. It was way better than the safety coin in Survivor.
I also liked how they were like, oh, Kyland and Sarah Beth, you are off the block. Like, they went through this whole thing where it's like, you are now off the block. Now, congratulations, you're safe. Now, let's see who they put up. Kyland and Sarah Beth, you're back on the block. Sorry about that. It's like, it was so funny because it was just so dramatic. And like, you know, obviously, if you're like a TV watcher or whatever, maybe you'd be like, I don't know what's going to happen. But Claire spent the whole time saying that she didn't want anyone to ruin Tiffany's HOH. So like, it was basically known that they were going to go right back up on the block. So I don't know. Very, very dramatic.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, Taryn, maybe for you, do you think that it was just kind of like the perfect storm of just like, if Tiffany wasn't the HOH and Claire still won the Coin of Destiny, would she have done something a little bit more dangerous? Or is it like you said, because they knew what Claire was going to do, they let her take it? So it's just like, it's like what ifs, but then not at all.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if this is like, for example, if Xavier had won this HOH, and he's planning to, I mean, obviously he's planning to have Claire, right? Then like, she's just going to go, okay, it's probably Kyland and does she put up Sarah? She might just put up Sarah Beth, but she might say, please target Kyland, but they wouldn't do that. She wouldn't be able to put up Kai and Xavier. So maybe that's not a good call. But like, if like Alyssa had won, or even like Big D had won, I think her go-to would have been Kyland and Xavier. However, Mari, yes, I think you're completely correct. If that were the case, if Big D were the HOH, or Alyssa were the HOH, or whatever, certainly
which Alyssa was the closest
Alyssa
one.
Was.
Alyssa was closest.
You know, if somebody else is HOH, then Tiffany probably knows what Claire intends to do as the Coin of Destiny holder, and this plan doesn't come into play. And then Hannah plays. Hannah probably beats Claire, and it doesn't end up happening anyway. You know, it's again, it's just like, what are you going to do?
Exactly. And then even with the flip, it's still you get all these variables together and it's still a 50-50 coin flip. So,
yeah,
man, they did it again.
So that's where we are. I mean, Claire uses this power, one of the most power. And I will disagree, Melissa. I do think that it's the right call to not allow the coin holder to play in the following HOH. I think that it would be far too powerful. I mean, theoretically, you know, if Claire wins the last week's HOH, then gets the Coin of Destiny this week, flips it, lands it correctly, is the HOH this week, and then competes in the fall. That's three straight weeks of potentially one person being HOH, which I think is too much.
True, but I do feel like there should be more benefit to this rather than I was in
overturning a potentially and you know.
Yeah, I guess this is really only relevant if like your ally wins HOH and you have like the potential to like flip their nominations. It's like, well, like, which is what happened. It's like, okay, well, why would I want to do that? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so great. I get to like flip my own ally's nominations and then not get to play an HOH. Like, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And then like, also imagine a situation where the underdog win that, like, let's say they are the target. Like, let's say Derek X is the target this week. He wins it. And then he is able to flip it, like flip the noms, get someone else out. Like, and then immediately he'll get sent out the next week. I do feel like if an underdog, I totally get. And that's the conundrum, I think, is like, if someone in the big alliance wins HOH, then wins the coin flip, and then wins HOH again, and they're just picking off the little people one by one. Like, yeah, obviously that's a bad situation. But if you know, theoretically, like an underdog wins, like is on the block, gonna go home, wins it, flips it, and then gets to do something the next week, still like still gets to compete, that makes more sense than just like, okay, so what, like 1 week and then they go out. And I get that, like, I don't know what the right answer is there, but I do think that like it kind of, I just feel like it would make a lot of people like who are relatively safe, maybe not the target, but maybe not, you know, in a really great position. Like it would make me be like, I don't think I'm going to go for it. I still want to compete for HOH. You know, it's getting down to the wire here. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's not unique to this season. I mean, the only thing you do is just not introduce twists like this. The Halting Hex did the exact same thing with Jess. It bought her a week and then she went out the following week, you know?
Right. It's like, it don't help the underdog. Mm-hmm. It helps them for 1 week. And then it's like, okay, yeah, back to where you were. Get them out. Like, you know, you're out the door. It's like, it doesn't really help them. It doesn't like establish them or give them any sort of like foothold in the game. It basically just is like, okay, you get one more week of safety and you get to like kick maybe one person out. It's like, doesn't really help.
And really, this whole concept of an anonymous HOH has been tried a few times now. It was tried in Big Brother Canada, and it's now been tried here. First of all, it's never actually anonymous. In Big Brother Canada, they all knew. And this season, they all know. Last season, when David got to remove himself from the block, everybody knew. It doesn't actually remain anonymous. And in my opinion, it makes the power less powerful when it's anonymous. Having power in the game, winning an HOH is powerful, not because you can snipe out one person from the other side, because that, as Melissa, you said, it leaves you vulnerable the very next week. And you probably just end up going home if that's all you end up doing. But having the power gives you the opportunity to mess with the social dynamics of the house and to pin people against each other and to have people come to you with information, want to align with you, make deals with you, give you things so that you don't target them. Having power and people knowing that you have power is a very good thing. And so you'd say, well, everybody knows it's not anonymous. Everybody knows, but nobody's going to Claire saying, hey, I want to be safe. Let me talk with you about whatever. They just know that she's the HOH. But they're not actually talking to her. She gets all of the downsides of being the HOH and very few of the upsides. The only upside she had, the only amount of agency she had, was the actual nominations, which she has chosen to give to Tiffany, essentially. And so now it's full on downside. And that's why they gave it to her.
Yeah, I feel like it's like it in some ways, in some small situations, it makes sense to have an anonymous and that would benefit you, where it's like, if you are in a big alliance and you know you have to get someone out in your own alliance, then maybe it's like, oh, well, if you're anonymous, you feel more powerful and you feel like you can do something like that, make a big move and blame it on someone else. Which, like you said, in reality,
that's what they're hoping for.
But it's like, in reality, like no one's going to not know who it is. So like, I mean, that ends up not happening. Or like in a situation, like you were just saying, like, you don't get any of the information. Like, so it really would be, I think, better if they just had it like, okay, you usurped the power and now you are the HOH. And like, Claire is named the HOH. Like, she has now all the power, like, you know, the renom power, et cetera. Like, everything is, and so that way they have to talk to her. They have to try and strategize with her. And it's not this like weird anonymous thing where they're like pretending like they don't know who it is or whatever. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's not as sexy as being an anonymous HOH, apparently. but honestly, so that's what they wanted, right? We got in the episode, Tiffany told Big D not to play for the Coin of Destiny, but he played. So theoretically, he could have done what you just said, Melissa, but it didn't make sense because he said, I am going to play. And I was like, oh, is Big D going to try and do something? And he's like, but I'm going to throw it and make it look believable. I was like, huh? And then halfway through, I was like, but it's anonymous. So they wouldn't have even known if when he played and he threw it, that it made sense that he came close to the, what happened there?
Did he think it was that sort of situation where they like showed the scores or something and showed the people played? Like, you know how previously they were like, so-and-so got this score, so-and-so that got this score, and then this person like got it?
We talked about this the other night, but like, can see that, but I can also see, and it's not like he said this out loud, but if I were going to pretend that I played in a competition, I would just go ahead and do it just because maybe there's a part of the competition that I wouldn't know about unless I played. That if Claire played and she's like, oh, what did you think when you tried to roll it down and then a thing popped out?
I was thinking of that as well.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Like, you know, so you might as well just like go through the motions so that you know exactly like they told me this. I had this many things. You can answer all those kinds of questions, not get tripped up. But again, like he didn't say that was the reason why he did it or anything. Who knows? But you know, I think it's the right call at that point.
Okay, that made more sense. I really thought it's Big D. So I thought he really did try to go for it, sucked, and just pretended like he.
It's really possible that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, in the DR, he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm just going to purposefully throw it." And really, it's like, I just did so poorly. I don't want anyone to know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
With Claire as the HOH, Sarah Beth and Kylan on the block, Hannah ends up winning the veto. And she has, with her decision, entered us into the third stage of this week, which is the Kylan versus Xavier stage of the week. Hannah wants to use the veto on Xavier. The reason being, there's no replacement, so doesn't matter. By using it on Xavier, she can kind of show Alyssa some goodwill. If Alyssa ends up being the person who makes it to 7 or something along those lines, then she has less reason to come after her, Hannah, if Alyssa ends up winning that final 7 HOH or something like that. She wants to use the veto on Xavier. However, when Kylan hears about this, Kylan's, whoa. I am the mastermind here. If somebody's going to be taken off the block, it should be me. I would like to speak to a manager, actually. Is there a manager around? Because this veto is being used on the wrong tier. Xavier, he doesn't deserve a veto. His likability is unearned, unlike mine. And I think that this veto needs to be used on me, actually.
With no logical points. I'm not going to give you any logical points, but I'm going to tell you it should be used on me, and then I'm going to smile at you a few times. That is Kylan's whole game strategy. This has been the funnest part of this week, is just watching Kylan like unravel and try to out-charm Xavier, while Xavier is just like, huh? Like the whole week. Why, Kai? Like, why did you do this? Why are you doing this? Thank you, because this has been entertaining, but it just doesn't really make any sense. And I do like how Taryn explained it. He's so high on his own supply because he's been manipulating Sarah Beth into oblivion that he thinks he could just do it to everybody. But it just doesn't work like that. It just logically does not work like that. You knew the game plan. You have your plus one, your partner, your pawn, whatever everybody wants to hear. And you sit next to them on the block to ensure that they go home. And for that way, you don't have to vote against them. Like it's not rocket science, you know, but Kai just wants to try and outmaneuver Xavier, even from a losing position. And it's just making him, destroying his status in the game. And I love to see it.
Yeah. I get why he obviously like does not want to be on the block because, well, like who would want to be on the block? But it's one of those things where like whenever anyone else from the cookout needed to be on the block, he was like, hey, this is just the way it needs to happen. And he was totally on board with it. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, when it's him who's in that same position, he's like, whoa, no, I don't want to do this. And it's like, I get why he doesn't want to do it, because it's like a precarious position to be in, is to be on the block. And also, like, if he could give Sarah Beth a sympathy vote, then that makes him look good. But it's like that, like the people see right through you. Like they can see that's why you want to get off the block. Like it's like you're not fooling anybody. So I think that it just makes him look bad to the rest of his team, because like not only that, there is like the like little implication there that you don't trust your team to like keep you and make sure you're safe being on the block next to Sarah Beth and X. Like it seems odd, and it would definitely like raise red flags for me if I was on his team and the whole time the whole plan was that one person and their pawn were going to be on the block, and then all of a sudden when it's his turn he like balks at it and is like, oh no, I don't want to do it. It's like that would freak me out a little bit. So yeah. I do think this is like a bad position that he's put himself in, and I think asking maybe like once or whatever, just like a quick like, oh, like could I maybe you want to use a veto on me? And then like this but not push it. Like, just be like, oh, that would be really good for me to not be on the block, you know, obviously, but, you know, especially when that's been their plan the whole time. Like, that's that.
Sorry. And I was just going to say, especially when somebody outside of your group is, has the power to replace you. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's asking essentially to be replaced by somebody else from the cookout.
Yes.
And the problem is that this is the guy that spent, you know, 5 hours in one night talking to Sarah Beth and convincing her to put up Claire and Derek X. And he, I think, feels like they're gonna listen. This is gonna happen. And I just need to try harder. I just need to keep
plugging it away.
It's not gonna work.
Yeah. And the more you push it, the worse it gets for you. Like, the worse it looks. Like, you know, just briefly discussing it is a fine thing, but then to keep pushing it, it like gets to be too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this has caused some tension to start really boiling beneath the surface here between Kylan and Xavier, who didn't even really care if the veto was used on him, but is like, whoa, why does Kylan want the veto used on him? They got into it a little bit. And Xavier, who I need to keep reiterating this point, has always wanted to Kylan to go first among the six. Has really been feeling like I need Kylan to go at six, if not before six, but at six for sure. And it seems as though there's a war brewing between Kylan and Xavier. And where before I kind of felt like there's a chance Kylan does not go after Xavier, this has actually also, I think, been bad for Xavier, because it feels pretty locked in at this point that Kylan will be trying to take that shot at Xavier once they hit six. That is less clear than the Xavier hit on Kylan. But given everything Kylan has been talking about for the last week, it seems pretty clear that he's going to want to take that shot. So that's the sort of the end game maneuvering going on here. The Kylan and Xavier seem to be wanting to take a shot at each other once they hit six. And then the winner of that war will need to survive what I imagine would be the onslaught of the rest of them minus Big D. And then they have probably the best chance to get down to the end competition wise. But that's what we're looking like here, Mari.
Yeah. And I'm excited and, you know, get into it a little bit more when we go through the individual stocks. But this is why, once I was like, okay, we're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to try and get to the six. This is why I was like, cool. I'm still entertained because, Taryn has pointed out several times that the shifting within the alliance itself has happened so many times in the last like 7 weeks or so. Like, you know, everybody keeps complaining, like, why is Tiffany letting it go down to six when it's not in her best position? It wasn't 2 weeks ago. Now it's looking pretty good, huh? Like, what, like, this is why, I'm very excited. I really, really hope the cookout do get to the six now, mostly because I want to see some people cry. But honestly, because I think at this point, like Taryn said yesterday, they deserve it. They've done everything they could to get down to this point. And outside of Alyssa or Claire, whichever one they decide next week to get to seven, winning a competition, you know, it should come down to the six. And then once we get down to the six, you want to see the maneuvering. Now, is a triple probably going to cut that short? It might. And if it does, that's Big Brother and CBS for you. That's their fault. This is what happened exactly last year with All Stars. You know what I'm saying? Once they got all of the minorities out, we quickly clipped Danny as well. And so the inner workings were not being able to really explode. So, I mean... we can't control production, but I do want to see them get down to the six. I do want to see the shots being taken. And it also makes me think that if it does come to a triple, then, you know, they're definitely going to have to try and aim for the big guys. And I think it even makes it even more likely that Kylan and Xavier target each other in that type of scenario, because, you know, you either clip out the biggest person or you get rid of somebody who's inconsequential. So I'm excited. No matter what, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, we're in an interesting sort of phase of the game. And it's honestly interesting to me how little endgame maneuvering there has been. I mean, it's basically like Tiffany has been putting the most work in to try to maneuver the endgame. But she's kind of starting from behind because she's working with people that she does not have the best relationships in the house with, mm-hmm. primarily Azza and Big D. Big D just straight up will never work with Tiffany. Right. And Tiffany's actually made significant progress on Azza. I mean, who would have mm-hmm. thought, you know, a month ago that that she'd be able to make this progress? But it's still not anything that's completely locked in. It's not like Tiffany has like three different final two deals right now. You know, I guess technically she does, but it's not like they're lawyer, the actual final two deals. But even like from people like Kyland and Xavier, they're kind of like playing up this fake, you know, guy final three, but nobody believes it except for Big D. And then Oz is just kind of like, yeah, the women or Big D and Xavier, like wherever the wind blows. Mm-hmm. And Hannah's kind of got a thing with Xavier and a thing with Tiffany. But I don't know what her exact plan is either. If she wants to get to the end and win, it seems like Azza's probably the best bet for her. But that hasn't been locked in yet either. So, you know, there's still a lot left to be determined. And that's why this end game could be pretty exciting. You know, when we talked about the committee and we talked about, you know, the committee was one thing because Enzo wasn't actually, it's really, you know, Cody's power structure, whatever you want to call it. There was the one pain point and that was Danny. And then mm-hmm. it was just, you know, clip Tyler, clip Memphis, and then storm down to the end. And Cody is set up where like it's already planned and it played out that way. Here there is a pain point, like at every step, it's none of it's planned out. And so the fact that we might just like speed through so much of it is really a shame. I think we might still get some good stuff at four and three. But you know, that six and five is, I really hope we get a lot more than just, whoa, Kyland won at six. Xavier's gone. Wow. Whoa. Now Hannah wins at five and Kyland's gone. Whoa. I mean, like, you know, I'm sure that will be an exciting episode, but like,
I would love it.
How much more fun would it be?
A whole week.
If that was two whole weeks of game. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not. I hope it's not a triple.
Yeah.
Hold out hope.
Yeah. I mean, we're all talking about the triple as if it's like a for sure thing, but you know, it's still not, we're not sure. There's still a chance.
Have you heard of it being like a fake double and then a fake double
like in Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, something like that.
Where like they vote out multiple people and then they battle to get back in before actually leaving. Yeah.
I would actually want to see that more than actual just real triple.
I mean
that'll be when they're trying to get from seven to it'll be from seven to five, or when is it scheduled to be?
If it's a triple, it's seven to four. If it's a double, mm-hmm. then it's seven to five. If it's a double with a battle back, then it's actually seven to six.
They would have had to have turn on someone in the six, and then that person could potentially come back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but the likelihood is that that person won't come back and it won't even matter because then the next week they'll just take out that non-six person and you know, there you go.
Well, what it could also be if it's a double from seven to five, but one of the people comes back, then it would be either Claire or Alyssa versus the first person out of the cookout to come back. Yeah. And then it might be like, oh, cookout made it to final. Oh, never mind. Now Claire's there. Like,
mm-hmm. It'll still count.
Be weird.
But then they'll just take out Claire. You know what I mean? It's like, it ends up just prolonging the inevitable. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't.
Well, you never know.
Really makes sense.
No, at that point, if you're down to five plus Claire, you know, but you got to the six, all bets might be off then.
Yeah,
I would feel like all the bets would be off.
Hey, we touched it.
He did it. So now Tiffany will be like, all right, Claire, we're back in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I was touching the base. I touched the base. It's over.
It's over, guys. It's over. T.O.
So, That's what we're looking at. I mean, we've rarely done State of the House in the roundtable this season, just because like it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's a cookout, not cookout. There's not much there. But I think if we're going to start to look within the cookout, and we're going to try to plan for this, I think you have this sort of fake guy alliance, Big D, Xavier, Kylan. I call it fake because I do believe Xavier and Kylan are gunning for each other. You have the women who also kind of have a somewhat fake alliance, I would say. Tiffany, Azza, and Hannah. I don't think either group of genders is like super loyal to that group as a whole. But it is, you know, they talk in groups. And so this could become something more solid as time progresses. Even the men, even they could, you know, they could get rid of all the tension, and they could ultimately say, you know what, we're screwing each other over by going after each other. We really do need to stick together.
I would say I do think the women are a tad bit closer right now, because I'm not surprised that Tiffany was able to reel Azza back in, not only because Tiffany is just a really good game player. She's a great game player. But also because, I've been talking about it, at least within my friend group, since this season started. Like, Azza, Tiffany, and Hannah are like, sisters. They're literally like my aunties and my mom. Like, Tiffany is the older sister. She's so protective of little sister Hannah. And then her and middle sister Azza get into it every now and then, like all the time. But there's still, I no matter what, there's still love in between all of them. And all Azza really wants, and I feel like I've been able to see this for weeks, was to be as close to Tiffany as possible. And also Brittany being gone helps, and Tiffany making that the extra effort and knowing like, okay, she figured out how to actually talk to Azza. She figured out the game and the personal. She's got it down. And now I think they are, all three of them are clicking on a really good level here. And if Tiffany gets lucky and Kai takes out X at six, then all bets are off. The women, you know, all they have to do is win a few competitions and we get a final three of the cookout women. So, again, I'm very excited to see all of those dynamics. But it feels like home when I see Tiff and Azza fight, like the way that they fight, because it's
when you
just
look at them, you see home.
Yes. I see home. Huh?
But yes,
I think there really is. I mean, at the beginning it was touch and go there, but I do think they understand each other. And it's just how they communicate. It's their love language. Fighting is their love language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have the two separate sort of like gender groups. But then you have, more like you have duos within that, right? You have Hannah and Tiffany. You have Hannah and Xavier. You have Azza and Xavier to a degree. Azza, who has been like, I need to drop this Xavier guy. He's not showing interest. And then, like, you know, 24 hours later, like, I do really like him though, Big D. Like, and he's like, nah, you only like him because you're stuck in here with him. I don't know. It's not just that he's good looking. It's also his personality. Like, I could really see something happen there. And so it's like, I don't know where that's going to go. Then you also have Big D and Kylan. Big D talking about how big of a crush he has on Kylan as well. So that's a big thing. And then of course Azza and Big D, they have their own thing. You even have Kylan and Tiffany to some degree who have maintained a working relationship. Obviously Tiffany is not loyal to Kylan, but I do think Kylan may believe that he has somewhat of an ally in Tiffany, at least for the short term, once they hit six. So the way that I see it, once they hit six, I do think it's going to be Xavier versus Kylan. Xavier has the leg up here, because even if Xavier doesn't win and take out Kylan himself, pretty much everyone else wants to do it other than Big D. So in my opinion, if Hannah wins, Azza wins, Tiffany or Xavier, they're all pretty much gunning for Kylan. Big D would go for Tiffany, and then Kylan would go for Xavier. Now, I actually think that Kylan is probably the most likely person to win HOH at six. I think that Kylan is probably the best competitor of the bunch. I know that it's kind of tough because Xavier has thrown so many competitions, that it's hard to know if he's as good or better than Kylan at competitions in general. But we do know that Xavier struggled in this veto competition, whereas Kylan did come pretty close to winning. So I feel like at the very least, they're pretty equal. If not, Kylan maybe has a slight leg up on some of the mental competitions. Maybe Xavier has a leg up on some of the physical competitions. But even that's hard to say. So I would say that Kylan's probably the most likely to win. But if he doesn't, he's kind of screwed. And then if Kylan goes, then it's a question of where do Hannah and Azza go? Do they end up gunning for each other? Do they end up gunning for Big D? Do they turn on Tiffany? Or mm-hmm. do they do the more likely thing, which I think is go against, go at Xavier? That's the big question. And then if Kylan ends up winning that and taking out Xavier, then we have that the situation we talked about before, where it's like, now it's the three women, plus Big D against, the three women against Kylan, who's got Big D on board. And it's like 3v2, kind of, because Azza wouldn't actually be against Big D. And so this is where you're already starting to see like how interesting just these first two boots are. That first eviction is going to be so key, I think, to the direction that the rest of the game goes for the six. And the winner of that HOH is very, very important to the winner of the ultimate, of the game, right? Which is another reason why it's important this week to make sure that your person stays next week until seven, because then you can safely throw that HOH and compete at six, because somebody is not going to be competing at six, and that's going to be a big bummer to them.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. That's where we're at, basically. Are we ready to rate these players?
Yes.
Okay, so what we do here, we rate the players from 1 to 10 based on a few factors, how well they're doing this week, game-wise, how safe they are heading into next week, and long-term prospects, how likely are they to win the game. I also poll the audience and get the audience's opinion on the player ratings.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I'm going to bring this up on the screen. Hopefully it's working properly. Here we go. And then we're going to, boom, just like that.
Ooh.
Oh, a lot of red.
Working StreamYard.
A lot of red.
So, last week wasn't looking great. Let's run through it this week and see where we are at. Mari, let's start with you.
How do you
feel about Alyssa?
So, I think Alyssa has done no work this week, but her position has changed in a sense, like they were talking about Alyssa being the seventh. Why you know, Tiffany and Hannah are on board with that, or Hannah mostly is on board with that. I don't know. But there was a lot of talk about Alyssa making the seven. There was a hiccup where Xavier was like, well, maybe she got to go. But right now, it does seem like Alyssa's fortunes are a little bit higher than Claire, if we, you know, we're disregarding Sarah Beth as she is going this week. So I think I would give Alyssa, I'd give her a four, I think.
A four from Mari. Melissa.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to give Alyssa a two because she's not winning. She's like, it's like, it does not even matter what she does. She's not winning this game. And that's just like the honest truth, unfortunately. So, you know, I don't know. I just think she doesn't have a chance. Either she leaves next week or the week after. Maybe she gets some sort of power between them, like HOH or Vito, but it really doesn't matter because then she'll be gone the next week. So.
Yeah. And I understand that, but aren't we ranking the week itself?
That's part of it. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, different factors, you know, how she played this week, long-term prospects, mm-hmm. how safe she is going into next week. I mean, for me, how safe is she going to next week? She's one of two targets. Not very good. It's the bottom ranking of that. What are her long-term prospects? She can't win this game. Bottom ranking of that. And then how did she play this week? Right. Especially if we try to factor in, she doesn't know about the cookout, whatever. How did she do this week? I don't think she did that well. Now I do think that she has, you know, I think she has exceeded expectations in that she's actually spoken to a couple of people about game other than Xavier. But yeah. Those expectations, the fact that I said that and I said it in a positive way means those expectations were at the floor.
The bar is low.
Yeah. Like she, has spoken to people about game other than one person? Are we supposed to be praising this? Like,
yeah, not a good sign.
Terrible mm-hmm. sign. I don't really, you know, I don't think that she has played well enough here. I think that she is she's a more active player right now than Claire. And I mm-hmm. think that she has a better chance of getting further in the game. And theoretically winning the game than Claire at this point. But I don't think she's played particularly well, and I don't think that she has any chance to win this game. So I'm also at a two for Alyssa.
She would have to completely like comp out the rest of the game. And even if she got to the final two, she wouldn't win. Like, that's the thing is, like, she wouldn't even win if she got to the final two. And I don't think, and here's the thing, is I don't necessarily think that's a knock on, like, Alyssa as a player. That's just the way that this game is right now, where you've got the cookout fully intact mm-hmm. in the jury, you know, and even if she ends up in the end with like, the odds are it's going to be with someone from the cookout, like, if she mm-hmm. ends up in the end at all. Because she would have had to literally comp out. And I guess unless like her and Claire trade off HOH veto until the very end, like, which I don't see happening, then those two might get to the end together. But at this point, she would be in the end with someone from the cookout. I don't see anyone from the cookout voting for Alyssa over someone from the cookout. So mm-hmm. like, I just don't think she has any chance to win it, at all. And, you know, and not only that, like, you know, even her biggest ally X this week was talking about like, oh, you know, maybe she needs to go next. I mean, I don't love his like logic for that, where it was like the fact that she pointed out that Claire's the only white person left in the game, like that she needs to go. But like, it's like, okay, Claire can see this. Like, I don't see why, like you think you're like pulling one over on Claire that like, oh, she didn't know that. She didn't know that till you said it, Alyssa. It's like, no, obviously she knew that. But like, you know, I don't know. I don't love the fact that he's like, she's got to go. She pointed out the obvious, but like, yeah. You know, even so, the fact that her biggest ally was saying that is not a good sign for her. So that's what I think.
Ooh, y'all are cutthroat here. I don't care. I agree with everything you said, but I just didn't want to point it out. I'm glad you guys did.
You're like, oh, thank God someone said it.
Here's the thing. I mean, talking about like comping out, like I actually do think that if I thought it was possible that either that both Alyssa and Claire could get together and say, you know what, screw our allies, we need to work together because we're screwed if we don't. A duo in the final eight is actually not all that unpowerful. Because it is very possible. We've seen it before that a duo can trade off comp wins, you know, week after week, and they would have a chance to get to the end if they did, but there's no chance that they're going to do that.
And so. this is where if Sarah Beth had taken out Alyssa last week and we still had Derek X, there still would have been some hope for the people who are rooting, you know, against the cookout, but it's just not going to happen. Alyssa and Claire aren't even that cool. even if they wanted to mount a thing, but I'm about to heap a whole bunch of praise on the cookout people, but this also just goes to show you how getting a six person alliance intact to the final nine, how debilitating it is. Because like you said, if you have a four person alliance and you get your four person alliance to the final five, you know, there's still one person there. If they win a comp and, you know, they luck out, they can comp to the end because you're way closer to the end. When you have a six person alliance intact against one or two people, the end is so far. It would take so much for you to get through all of them. So that is just the brilliance of the structure of how the cookout staying together.
And also they make up the majority of the jury votes at that point. You know what I mean? Like it's like if you bring a four person alliance to the jury and they make it there, like that's only four people. Like it wouldn't hand you a win. You know what I mean? Like, like if you were in the end, that would only be three votes. So like it doesn't really matter. But when you have six people, like, I mean, they can literally pick the winner. Like if it ends up being a cookout person and then someone not in the cookout, like they're going to pick their alliance member, you know, like that's the whole point of it. So they basically control who wins this game at this point.
Yeah. And just a final word on Lissa as well. Like I think because she's been so not involved in game talks, I haven't really been focusing on it, but like she has been not involved in game talks. I mean, she barely is involved in anything game. Her problem when Christian was around was that she spent too much time with Christian, and she did try to make alliances and she did make alliances, but she didn't spend enough time bonding with those alliances. After Christian left, you'd think, okay, now that Christian's gone, she has the ability to go out and socialize more. Instead, she doubled down on the strategy and spent even more of her time with Xavier.
Doesn't she notice that, like, oh, I'm not hearing any game talk right now. Like, I'm clearly out of the loop. Like, I don't understand how that's not, like, a huge, like, blinking red flag. You know, if I was in the house and I'm like, it's weird that nobody's talking game, but you know, that's fine. I'd be like, no, obviously they're talking game. They're not talking game to me.
No, Melissa, she just gets so exhausted from the heavy gaming that she does.
So tiring.
The light work that she does.
All right. Well, the audience gave Alyssa a 3 this week. So they split right in the middle there. All right. Let's talk about Azza. Melissa, let's start with you. How do you feel about Azza?
I feel much better about Azza. I feel like Azza has just gone up for me. I feel like she's in a decent position. I feel like, you know, now, especially that she's working with Hannah and Tiffany and, you know, tangentially Claire, I feel really good about her. I mean, I think that she's putting in the work, and the fact is that she is in the cookout. She has a few weeks to go still. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, she needs to have solidified her spot right now. She doesn't necessarily. I think she's on an upward trajectory. She's got, you know, next week Claire's going to go, and then the next week Alyssa's going to go. That's two different weeks where she has time to, like, work on her game and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I do feel good about her. I'm going to just keep going up. So she's a 6 for me this week.
Yeah, Azza is a tough one because, you know, her odds of making it to the end obviously continue to increase. And I actually do like the game that she's playing more and more. But for me, the biggest, because like safety going to next week has always been great. Azza has no chance of leaving. Game week to week has typically been pretty poor. I think this week it's actually been decent. I've been happy with what I've been hearing from Azza for the most part. But the end game prospects for me are where her game has always been very low, and I still haven't seen that shift too much. The issue is that, you know, She gets to the end with Tiffany. I feel like Tiffany beats her. She gets to the end with Xavier. I feel like Xavier beats her. She gets to the end with Hannah. I think Hannah probably beats her. And that means she probably needs to get to the end with either Kyland, who she has a shot against, I think, just because people don't like Kyland so much. And of course, Big D. The problem with getting to the end with Kyland is that Kyland doesn't want to take Azza to the end. He doesn't like Azza very much. I think he wants Azza gone, and she wants him gone. So that's not a very viable path. And taking Big D to the end is very difficult because basically, unless you're counting on Big D winning competitions and taking you, which honestly, I don't even know that he would, considering his big crush on Kyland, means basically that you have to win and take him. Azza has not performed particularly well in competitions to this point. So, you know, it looks difficult for her to get to a winning path. And that's why it's tough to go too high on her. But I do think her gameplay this week has improved enough that I'm also going to go to a 6 for Azza. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it can go any higher until I see a viable endgame path for her, at this point. But for this week, the reason why I liked her game, she did talk about ditching Xavier. She has not ratted out the Women's Alliance. She continues to play into it. She also is one of the only people this week that is talking sense when it comes to next week. Why it makes sense to take out Alyssa next and not Claire. And she's not willing to back down on it either. She's been very firm about her opinions. And a lot of people are looking to give her the HOH next week, which would be great for her end game prospects. I think give her something on her resume. So for me, it's a 6. Mari, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you guys said. I would also give her a 6. I like that she's always had like a friendship with Claire, but I really like how the women in general have really made it seem like it's like Claire, Tiffany, Hannah, Azza. Like they made it like it's our side of the house versus their side of the house. I think you pointed that out in one of the updates. So I really, really do think that Azza is in a good position. But like you said, she will have to figure out a way to navigate once everybody starts pointing at each other. And right now, I don't know how she's going to do that. Just because she's so straightforward and she's a straight shooter. But, you know, once the cookout turns their pistols on each other, what is Azza really going to do? And will she make the correct decision that will get her further in the game? I also worry for her that, again, like, say you're targeting a Kylan or an Xavier, even when, you know, one of them goes, Kylan goes, then the next week we're trying to target Xavier or something like that. If Xavier wins safety, who goes out then? You know what I'm saying? Because for me personally, I don't understand how they don't try and take out Big D as soon as possible, because, you know, he's basically signed his name on one of those final two seats. So, you know, I would go after Big D, but if for some reason people still want to keep Big D around so that they can drag him to the final two, I think Azza is the one who catches that stray. So I think she's doing good, but she needs to definitely do better, or at least continue to consider what she's going to do when she gets to the 6. She's finally thinking, you know, past this phase. She's trying to think towards the 6. So I think she's trending up.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, Azza. There, the audience gave Azza a 5, a little bit lower than us on Azza. From the audience, let's talk about Claire. Talk about Claire. Where is Claire in all of this? For me, last week I gave Claire a 2. It's not looking good for Claire. She's not making good decisions. She's not well positioned in this game. She won the Coin of Destiny. She finally had some agency
here
in the game. She used that agency to do absolutely nothing. I asked on the survey, what was the worst use of a power, superpower? Was it Claire with the Coin of Destiny or Matt Hoffman with the Diamond Power of Vito? I'll tell you, the audience said with 57% of the vote, Claire, worse than Matt Hoffman's Diamond Power of Vito. And you know what that means to me? It's a 1.
Oof.
It's a 1. Whoa. For Claire.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Sarah Beth got a 1 last week, and Claire's getting a 1 this week. You don't have a power like this and not use it for anything. What are you doing?
Not messing around. I agree. Spicy. I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I'm not going to give Claire a one. I'll be honest. I'm going to give Claire a two, but I do agree with you in that. I don't have any faith in Claire anymore. And even so, like, I don't even think that she should win. I feel like previously it was like, oh, like, you know, if she can just make it to the end, it's like, I don't even think that she should win if she makes it. I mean, she must be doing something really crazy to make it to the end. Maybe then at that point, I'll be like, okay, no, she deserves it. But like at this point, that is so, I mean, this week was just so bad for her. It goes to show that she's totally snowed by Tiffany. You know, it's previously before this, it was like, but she doesn't have any power. So like, what's she going to do besides just like keep chugging along and hope she gets something? But even now she gets the power and she doesn't do anything with it. And then even when they're like talking to her about it, I mean, you see on even the episode when they're talking to her about like, yes, but Claire, then you won't be able to compete for HOH. She's like, yeah, I don't care. It's like, okay, you don't care that you're not going to be able to compete for HOH when you're literally alone on an island. Like, you're not, like, even according to Alyssa, you're alone on an island. Like, you know, what are you thinking? Like, and it just goes to show how, like, the cookout, I think, did such a good job of, like, convincing people that they don't exist. Because even when the show was trying to make it seem like Claire and Derek X have, like, discovered the cookout, I mean, it's clear that they have not. Because they're not even suspecting it at all. And I think that's the beauty of their plan, which was to have one member of the cookout up on the block with a non-member of the cookout, because that completely disguises it. I mean, it makes you think, like, in all real life, like, why in the world would you put an ally on the block? Because that's dangerous. That's scary. Why would you want to risk an ally going home? So, like, right. If I'm Claire, I might believe that, like, you know, these people can't be working together, because why would you put an ally on the block and then potentially put them in danger like that? There's no logical reason to do that. But there is a logical reason, because they're so locked in that it doesn't matter if they're on the block, because they know they're not going home. And I think it's great, because now even if Claire were to turn to Tiffany or whatever and be like, wait a second, are you guys all working together as a big alliance and Alyssa and I are on the outside? Tiffany would be like, why would you think that? I put Kylan on the block. Like, why would I be working with him? I just literally put him on the block and kicked out his biggest ally. Like, that doesn't make sense for someone I'm working with. So, like, they absolutely can play it off that they're not working together. And if you're just a person in the house, like, obviously you're going to believe that, I think. Like, I'm starting to understand, not like starting to, I guess, but it's really solidifying for me, like, why, like, how they were able to so fully snow these, like, actually intelligent people into thinking that they're not working together. Because, like, previously we've always been like, it's so obvious. How could they not see that these people are working together? You know, like, it's I guess, like, I see fully the argument for, like, why they weren't able to tell. And I think it's brilliant, a brilliant play. But either way, Claire has disappointed me. And I'm very upset with her. And, you know, I like her as a person, but she just did not do it for me this week. And there is no way she's winning this game.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat what else could she have done? She did the best that she could do. But I think that's ignoring the fact that Claire on the feeds to the cameras said, this is not my best move. She knows that there's a better move to make. And she actively still chose this move, which is to me why this is particularly bad. That she has an obviously bad read on the house and feels comfortable enough to do a favor for her ally rather than make a more selfish move that she knows she could have made. But she just spent the last 2 weeks sitting on the block. Mm-hmm. None of her allies touched the block. They even tried to touch the block and they couldn't touch the block. But Claire touched the block. And for some reason, Claire thinks that she is still in a better position, in that if she's on the block next to Tiffany, that surely they'd send Tiffany home. Even though she also thinks, well, hopefully I'm the Steve, as if Steve would have stayed up on the, if he had been on the block next to Vanessa at any point, right? She has been playing far too passively. And she is allowing her allies to, she's like, you guys take this one. I'll get the next one. But there is no next one. If she had tried anything, if she had even just done something that had felt like, hey, at least I'm doing, if she had been like, look, It's not in my best interest for Sarah Beth to go home. Sarah Beth, yes, she put me on the block, but she's not my biggest threat. I know this. I'm going to take Sarah Beth off the block, and I'm going to put Alyssa up on the block, and I'm going to put Azza on the block or Big D on the block, and I'm going to send Xavier or Big D home, hopefully. And then, it's Alyssa that goes home. What a mistake she made. That's different to me. That's that she tried something, but she was wrong and she failed. This was, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to let it happen. And that's to me why, along with long-term prospects being zilch, short-term prospects being danger zone, I have to give her the one here.
Bringing up an alternative, like there was no, like, did I miss something? Or there was no discussion of Claire with even her biggest ally, Tiffany, you know, being like, hey, I don't think this is the right move. Like, we should try and make a bigger move because it's like anonymous or what, you know what I mean? Like, was there any conversation with Tiffany? Like, cause in Claire's mind, Tiffany is her biggest ally and they are, you know, a team and they'll, you know, whatever. Was there no discussion with Tiffany besides just like, I'll just do whatever you want?
No, from what I saw, it was like, I want to win this for you so your nominations stay intact. I want to win this coin for you so that your HOH week is not messed up. So
it's like, why not even just have the discussion? If she truly is your ally and you don't believe she's working with a bunch of other people outside of you, then like, why wouldn't you even just bring it up as a discussion? Like, hey, if I win this, like, you know, what do you think about, like, let's go for a power move and let's get, you know, so-and-so out or whatever. Let's put all the boys on the block. You know, I don't know what she could have said, but just like, even just bringing that up as a discussion, like, that's the frustrating thing is like, I could maybe understand if it was like, she brings it up and then it's like, all her allies are saying like, no, this doesn't make sense for your game. Like, it doesn't make sense for any of our games. Like, this is the move. We have to get Sarah Beth out because of X, Y, Z. Then maybe it's like, okay, maybe she can be like convinced into it. And so it makes sense, like, to make her think it's best for her game. But to just be like, no, I just want to make sure you have the HOH that you want is like, just so disappointing.
Why stick her neck out for Sarah Beth? Sarah Beth just put her on the block last week. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how different layered and brilliant that was. Like,
that's why it was such a bad move for Sarah Beth to put Claire
exactly,
on the block.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sarah Beth, Claire
Beth wouldn't have gone for her.
Sarah Beth had the right move at the beginning of her HOH. Mm-hmm. She was going to put up Xavier and Alyssa. And I was so excited for that. And she really let Kai come in and talk her into these Big D and Claire moves. Even though Claire, again, didn't fight that nom, which she should have, it weakened Claire and Sarah Beth's alliance. Because why would I be okay with you using, you know, gambling with my BB life? So now we're a week later and the noms are already Kylan, Xavier, and Sarah Beth. I think if Xavier wasn't up there, I think she definitely would have probably used it to get him on the block because Xavier was somebody Claire always wanted to gun for, but he's already up there. You know what I'm saying? Kai's already up there. So the only change from Tiffany's noms would have been taking down Sarah Beth and putting up Big D. But there's no reason to ask Tiffany to stick her neck out to be like, Tiffany, I kind of want to put up Big D when, you know, again, if Sarah Beth is up there and if Sarah Beth goes, when you know Tiffany wants Sarah Beth gone, it just doesn't make sense. So I don't like giving people who aren't on a block a one, I'm going to give Claire a two, but her maneuverings were non-existent. She did not want to rock the boat. At this point, she doesn't know she needs to rock the boat. And everything both of you said are true, but I just don't. Claire has not showed herself to be as good of a player as we thought she would be. Now, is that because of this season itself and how the great social strategy of the cookout? Maybe, but Claire has not shown me any in any of her decision making that she was a good game-changing player. She's played way too passively. Just like I pointed out how she just let Sarah Beth put her on the block. You know what I'm saying? One of many things that I really did not like. So I like Claire, and I do think she sees a lot, but she just has not acted on much. And then combo with not having that much power. One time she gets power, she just flops. It's hard. It's hard. I feel bad for Claire. I really do.
Yeah, I think that when I was talking about Claire early on in the season, I said that I feel like she has a great mind for the game, but she is lacking in the social game. And so she has leaned pretty heavily on Tiffany for that social game. I think in a world where Tiffany actually is Claire's number one, they complement each other well enough that Claire is getting accurate information, is getting let in on actual relationships, and able to bond with people, with, you know, other people kind of doing some of the legwork for her socially that she is otherwise not as good at doing. And I think that she could be a very dangerous player in those circumstances. But as a solo player, she doesn't seem to have the social game to sort of give her the ammunition that she needs to use her her strategic
her strength. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So because of that, she's left in the dark. And so she, you know, she's still making decisions that are not best for her game. But she, unlike Sarah Beth, at least can see that this is not her optimal move. But she's choosing to do it somewhere else. Whereas Sarah Beth is like just fully snowed into thinking this. Well, this is my best. No, this is my best. and so I'll give her at least that for sure. The audience
exactly
gave Claire a three.
Gave her a three. Yeah, that is the frustrating thing. I think that's why we're all frustrated, because we can see that Claire has a great strategic mind, but she does not have the social capital to get anything done. And unfortunately, she also hasn't been winning any of the comps. So that's the very, very frustrating thing. Mm-hmm. And if DX was still here, it would have been, if her and DX are still here and they were just as tight as they were when they were both on the block, then they could have really done something in this house.
And maybe if Claire had been like, Derek, you need to play in the roulette last week, maybe things would be different. All right. Let's talk about Big D. This week, the audience gave Big D a four, same as their rating last week. Although I will say it has gone down. It's a lower four than it was last week from the audience. So Big D, a four from the audience. Mari, what do you think?
let's see. Big D is just much like Aza. He's in a great position within the cookout. A lot of people, I think Kylan, if he could, would take him to the final two. I think X would take him to the final two. But the problem is, his guys thing that he was using and depending on is slowly breaking down around him. It's like fire and flames everywhere, and he's trying to put the fire out. So I'll give him that. He's trying to put the fire out, but it's not working. So I feel like his position is slipping in a sense. And I'm trying to look at him versus what we've given Aza, because I do feel like they are both in that same position. The cookout is benefiting the both of them the most, just on the simple fact that they seem to be doing the least amount of work to maintain it. So I think I'm going to give Big D a five. I'm going to give him a five. And I do want to point out, like, I don't want it to all be negative and doom and gloom, because I really think that the cookout, as a whole, it's just like how we were talking about on the Micronesia podcast about the Black Widow Brigade. Each one of them has a strength that is literally helping this alliance forward. And Big D is not the strategic. He's not the comp winner, and his social game is messy, but I truly, truly believe that if he sincerely didn't hate Tiffany, it would be harder for them to hide their alliance. So he is inadvertently helping the cookout, because people are like, there is no way that they are working together. So I have to give him his props there, innocent. So yeah, I'm gonna just go with a 5 for Big B.
All right, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I need to give him a 5 as well at this point, just because he has a few weeks built in that he can, you know, maneuver around. I feel similarly about like Azza, where it's like she has a few weeks built in, like automatically, just because, you know, she's not going home this week, he's not going home this week, and then you still have Alyssa and Claire to get out prior to, you know, the cookout turning on each other, supposedly, if everything goes according to plan. So I do think that he has a bigger, and I also think that even when the cookout starts to turn on each other, I think there are larger targets for that. So I think, you know, we've already got Xavier and Kylan looking at each other. The girls are already kind of looking at Kylan and, you know, and I think that that might allow Big D to kind of weasel his way, you know, to the front of the pack and kind of just like work towards the end that way. I don't know if once he gets there, can he win? But I do think because he's in the cookout, he's in a good spot generally, although I don't know if he's in a good spot to actually win. So that's why I'm just at a 5 right now.
You guys are all too high on Big D. He's a 3. Big D's still a 3. I'm not moving up yet on Big D.
Even though he's, I'm okay with that.
I don't know.
Here's why. This guy is not going to win a jury vote at this time. He's not going to win. Last week, I was saying maybe I'd go up to a 4 next week because at least he's going to win something finally. He's going to be the only person that can afford the Coin of Destiny. He's going to win the Coin of Destiny. Uh-huh. He's going to use that power and he's going to have done something in the game. And this week, he played in the Coin of Destiny and he threw it. He doesn't have the Coin of Destiny now. He still has done nothing in this game. And they still talk about his. Every single person in this house has a daily, let's make fun of Big D's game segment of their lives. There's no way they're going to be like, yeah, this guy, even though we've joked about how terrible he is at this game and how deluded he is to think that he's running this game, let's give him the vote. Like, yep. No, it's not going to happen. He's not going to get the vote. Not unless he actually gets to the end with Kylan and they're so bitter against Kylan that they give it to Big D. I don't see any other scenario where this guy wins the game. And the thing about him being the ultimate goat is that very few people actually seem to want to take him to the final two. Kylan is kind of the only one of them. Maybe Xavier would want to do that, betray Hannah to take Big D. But as far as I'm aware, Xavier actually wants to go to the end with Hannah. And Tiffany, I certainly don't, she doesn't seem to want to go to the end with Big D. That's not in her plan. Again, maybe Azza, but Azza is one of the least capable of taking somebody to the end. And I still think Azza beats Big D. So it doesn't really matter, especially if she's the one that takes him. For me, he needs to do something to make them finally stop making fun of how terrible he is at the game. Until that happens, I can't go much higher.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I definitely agree with that.
Big D, I don't feel strong enough to like argue like, no, you should be a 5, because I'm just like, whatever.
You don't want to have like a 20-minute debate about Big D's
about how great
game?
He is? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
But let's be clear. He's getting those 5s because he has 2 free weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Like that does give you more, like it gives you more leeway to like actually do something if you have more time. So that's why I think that like, and to be fair, a 5 is like just totally average, like just totally like flatlining. Like you're not
There's
like
no world where up Big or D down. Is average.
You're not. Oh, come on. In this game, maybe in this like season, maybe not, but like in the general season, he's amazing.
Well, let's move on to Hannah. Mari, how do you feel about Hannah?
I love Hannah personally. I think her and Tiffany put in some great work this week. I mean, wow. Honestly, I'm so happy she got the veto win. I can't wait to watch it. She seems very excited. She seems just with the veto. She does seem to be pushing more. You know, she might be over-strategizing a bit. You know, we've seen it. They're trying to strategize to who to throw the HOH to and all of that good stuff. But I think Hannah benefits from literally having Tiffany's complete power behind her. Taryn has pointed this out multiple times, but whoever Tiffany throws her power behind, they're the ones who seem to rise in the game. And Hannah then making connections outside of Tiffany, making sure she has a really good relationship with Xavier, for one. And her and Tiffany making it their mission to drive a wedge between Xavier and Kylan this week, even though, you know, the fracture was already there, but they really sat there and they chiseled it. And they're trying to get that gap so freaking wide. I just respect that so much. I love what they're doing. I really want to see a Hannah and Tiffany final two. Like, that to me would be like my dream scenario. But I just like how she's bringing the strategicness to it. She's bringing the social aspect to it, and she has the one comp win under her belt. I loved how both her and Tiffany, it's hard to, like, you know, kind of separate their games for this week, but I loved how they were psyching each other up, like, we can do this again, we can mm-hmm. win these comps, you know. So I'm gonna give Hannah I'm gonna go with a 7. I really think she's putting in some very good work. She also got a lot of people mad on social media, which I love.
All right, Melissa, last week you gave Hannah a 4.
Yeah. And I do stand, and I just want to say, I do stand by that 4. Like, I think that is an accurate rating for last week. I think she made a lot of errors. I think she was playing that last week all wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, I thought about it and I think that was like a bad move. I honestly think that I made the right call with my 4 and I strongly stand by it. I was very disappointed in her last week. However, I do think that, you know, even though she did end up losing her biggest ally, I do think she did a lot of really good work this week. And I think that Tiffany winning HOH was really good for her. And then, of course, her winning the veto as well. I think she did some really good work with Xavier this week. I think she did some really great work, her and Tiffany, in that, like Mari was saying, driving that wedge. I think that was so great. And I think that she did a really great job with that. And I think that she's got the right mindset most of the time. In terms of like what she has to do to move forward, I am a little nervous with her wanting to possibly get Claire out prior to Alyssa. I think that at this point, yeah, Claire is like fully on board with like working with Tiffany and Azza and Hannah. And it does mm-hmm. not make literally any sense for her to want Claire to leave before Alyssa, who's not working with them at all. So I think I'm a little worried about that. And I think it does kind of seem like she doesn't fully like understand who her allies are sometimes. I don't know. I feel like she's got a weird read on that. So I don't know about that. And I'm still a little hesitant, but I will say that she's done some really great work this week. I'm excited to see what she does going forward. You know, and I think that, you know, I think she has positioned herself well this week, but we will see, you know, as it goes moving forward. But yes, I'm going to give her a 7 this week. So that is a big bump.
All right. I will say, you know, about Hannah and Tiffany driving the wedge between Xavier and Kylan. I agree. That divide has existed there. It existed prior to them sort of coming up with this, but it is something that Tiffany in particular has been working on for weeks. That she's been she was the one who initially got in Xavier's ear. I mean, he was already annoyed with Kylan, but she started talking to him about Kylan. She's the one he told he wanted Kylan out as early as 6, or the first one out of the cookout a few weeks back. She has also been in Kylan's ear about Xavier for a few weeks now. So I really do think has been a part of this. I think this divide probably could have existed anyway, but by sort of like amping them both up, Xavier, like Xavier's, you know, distaste for Kylan is getting so heated that it's now showing, and Kylan is feeling it, which is increasing mm-hmm. his distaste for Xavier. And the rivalry has definitely been built and aided, in my opinion, Tiffany, and Hannah. I do think they deserve some credit for that. And I do like the way that things are being set up for them. My issue with Hannah remains the same as it has been, and it's who does she win against? Her closest people right now are Tiffany and Xavier. I still don't know exactly what her end game plans are. I would love for her to get to the final three with Tiffany and Azza. Cut Tiffany, win the game next to Azza. I feel like that's a viable path for her. I don't know that she plans to do that. I don't know enough about her endgame plans. For me, the endgame is still too nebulous to really... I think even Xavier now, who seemed like a pretty good front runner, now does have some stumbling blocks, some hurdles in front of him when it comes to Highland. And now, you know, Hannah and Azza, it doesn't seem like he's quite as safe as he once appeared. And it always looked like he was going to have to kind of win out. Now it really looks like he needs to win out. And I'm not sure that he can. Again, didn't do particularly well in this veto competition. So for me, the endgame is decently open. And I think that Hannah is one of the top contenders. You know, last week, I think based on her reasoning for taking out Derek X, I think I should have been a little bit lower. This week, I'm considering an 8 for Hannah, but I think that ultimately, I think the 7 is the right rating right now. We just need more information on what kind of end game is set up here. I think winning a veto is a great sign. But I'm still, as Melissa said, seeing some gaps in her logic. If she hadn't started talking about Claire being the person to go next week, this would be an 8. This was the deciding factor for me. Because it just shows me again that like, I just can't get behind her game logic sometimes. Yeah. And it makes me, when I don't have her end game plan, it makes me lack a little bit of faith in what she eventually comes up with. Once she gets there and she doesn't, because right now she has tons of space to make mistakes. She doesn't need to take the optimal, but she's in the position Claire hopes that she's in where she's like, I don't need to take the optimal path from it. I can think this is the right path, but it's not actually the right path because it doesn't matter. Like I'm going to make it to 6 anyway, and I'm probably going to make it even further. But once she hits that 6, she runs out of room to make those mistakes. And if she doesn't start making the right calls at that point, or just winning all the competitions, then that's really gonna hurt her. So a 7 for me, definitely could go higher if things you know continue to go well for her, which I think they have been. But a 7 here for now is where I am at. The audience also at a 7.
Straight 7.
Yeah, nice. Lucky.
All right. Let's talk about Kyland, who was the best buy last week. Melissa, how do you feel about Kyland?
This one's tough because I do still think, I think that, you know, first of all, like we think he has time still, like we've been saying with everyone else, but like now I'm kind of like, I don't know, are they going to just try and take him out before final 6? Like they could, if he does something like that makes it seem like he's a liability to their game, like, and he's playing like, you know, a selfish game or whatever that they keep saying. If they think that, there's an easy reason to be like, look, we're all for the cookout, but this guy's in it for himself and we can't have that. So he's out. Like I could absolutely see that happening. So I'm very worried about that for Kyland. And I think that also he's played this week really poorly. I think that, you know, the whole plan is to put you up with your pawn. And he's known about that this whole time. And he's been very okay with it when it's been everybody else. But the second that it's him, he's all weird about it and doesn't want to be on the block and wants to convince people to take him off and is pissing people off and is talking too much and blah, 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 blah. So it's just not good play from Kyland this week, really at all. You know, I think that he is still in a good spot in terms of his like ability to win comps, and the fact that he has potentially, if he doesn't really screw things up, 2 people, like 2 weeks of, you know, general like ability or time, I guess, to kind of maneuver himself around. But here's the thing is he's losing his biggest ally this week. And I do think that that's a knock against him. We all knew that this was going to happen at some point, but like, I'm assuming Kyland hoped it wouldn't be right now. Even though, you know, that was the discussion is like, okay, Sarah Beth is the next one, but like, he always kind of would be like, yeah, but what if we took Claire out, you know? So I do think that this is not ideal for him. It also eliminates that kind of like safety blanket that he had with Sarah Beth. So, you know, this one's a tricky one for me because I'm teetering between a 5 or a 6, to be honest, because I feel like I feel like he's played this week so poorly, and yet he's still like in the cookout and he's still doing more things than Derek F. Although it does seem like people are really starting to, you know, not fall for his, you know, convincing anymore. Like, I don't think people are really under the Kylan spell like they once were, you know, when his first HOH was happening and everyone's like, wow, what a great guy. You know, he's, you know, doing so great. He's so nice and blah, blah, blah. And what a perfect HOH. And now all of a sudden people are like, I literally don't want to hear Kylan say one more word. So, yeah, I think that at this point, because he's in the cookout, I'm going to keep him. Out of five.
Yeah. You know, Kylan's an interesting one for me. I think that, you know, last week he got a seven, the week mm-hmm. before that he was a five. And so for me, it's just back to the five. And the thing for me is that, you know, there are a lot of people in the chat right now who are saying that this guy has no chance to win the game. Now I disagree with that. I do still think Kylan can win. I do think he can win a jury vote. I think that, especially because I think if he has anything to do with it, the only way Kylan gets there is if he wins a bunch of comps to get there, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got tons of momentum, tons of comp wins if he gets there already. And he probably gets there with Big D, because that's the person he, I think, would want to take. So it's Kylan mm-hmm. versus Big D in the end after he won a bunch of competitions. And it's not just the cookout that's voting either. There's only four right. cookout votes. There's also Derek X and Claire. Mm-hmm. Derek X, he doesn't like that Kylan lied to him. But I think he's absolutely the kind of juror that would be like, kudos though. You got me out. You won a bunch mm-hmm. of comps. Claire, I think also doesn't care. You like, okay, people didn't like how you did it, but you were so good. You manipulated Sarah Beth into taking out Derek X. You won mm-hmm. a bunch of comps to get there. I think Claire would vote for him. I think those are going to be, I think Derek X in particular is going to be a big one for him. The way that he is already prepping Sarah Beth to campaign for him in the jury, assuming Sarah Beth doesn't go super bitter against him, which is definitely a possibility, mm-hmm. then that's potentially three votes already for him. And then I do think that there are people in the cookout who could potentially vote that way as well. I don't think that he's drawing dead by any means, but I do think that he is... He is less likely to win, in my opinion, at this point than Azza. I think that Azza has a better chance of sort of like building a resume by the time she makes it to the end than Kylan has of getting to the end and still winning the game. And so it's a five for me. You know, he's really going to have to turn things around. He just plays so poorly because of the overconfidence I think he has in his manipulation ability. And he can't seem to see that he's screwing up his own game at this point. It's not looking great. And his most likely outcome is he's out at six. So there you go. Five for Kylan. Mari, what do you think?
Yeah, I was right on board with you guys with the five here because he just seems to be shooting himself in his own feet with his social game. He is going to have to heavily rely on the comps, which it is possible that he can do. You know what I'm saying? We've all been talking about how, you know, in recent years, the last few comps have skewed more physical. So he has a chance to win, you know, a lot of these comps coming down the line. So if they're going to get him out, they need to get him out sooner rather than later.
Just briefly, but like you just made me think of something, which is that like if this is Big Brother 21 with those end game comps and Kylan wins at six and manages to take out Xavier and it's Kylan versus the rest of the cookout mm-hmm. with Big Brother 21 style competitions, like he probably is undefeatable. At that point, he probably can't be defeated in a competition and he potentially goes on to win the game.
Exactly. So that's why it's just like you can't count him out like at all, because like Melissa said, just on this pod, the more time you have, you know, the easier it is to maneuver and get to end game, especially if you can win comps. Now he needs to make sure that his ego doesn't get in the way of some of his gameplay, because if I could see him trying to outsmart something and it backfiring in his face. Like I can completely see that happening. There's not much more to say about Kylan. His game this week was just really, really poor. He put himself in such a really bad position by trying to get off the block next to his ally with no logical explanations for it. It was a bad week for him, but he'll be here for a while. So.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to call out, and I mentioned this on the update, but I do want to call out the one really good thing that I think he did. And I did briefly touch on it, but the fact that he is prepping Sarah Beth for the jury, giving her campaign points, telling her how to, like, who she should go to Derek X, make up arguments with him. And then, you know, the two of you can work from there. I think that's all good stuff. And could be a reason why he ends up winning a jury if it comes to that, which it doesn't seem really likely at this point, but that is one good thing that he did this week, in my opinion. The audience gave him a 5 as well. Straight fives for Kylan. All right. Okay, let's move on to Sarah Beth. Let's talk about Sarah Beth. Last week, I gave Sarah Beth a 1, and this week, I'm giving Sarah Beth another 1!
Oh, another boy. 1.
She's going home. She did very little to save herself this week. As she's just been like hanging out with Kylan. She hasn't even thrown Kylan under the bus yet at all. She hasn't done anything this week. Like, even if I thought there was any, like she, I don't think she's made as big a mistake this week as she did last week, but she's going home this week. And that kind of makes up for it. And she's not really doing anything to tell me that she deserves anything better than a 1 either. She's not like campaigning effectively. She's not like doing anything other than telling Kylan all of her deepest, darkest secrets while they cuddle. Like, so it's like there's nothing going on here. It's a 1 for Sarah Beth. She's going home. She's going to the jury. And she's going to, you know, probably campaign for him in the jury until she finally realizes what Kylan was doing to her, and then she's going to be like, wait a minute, I don't know now, and then we'll see what happens there. So
I'm really confused here. So she legit knows she's going home?
Pretty much. She's waiting to campaign until, again, like Wednesday or whatever. Sure she's going to campaign. I'm sure she's going to say, I'm sure she's going to lightly throw Kylan under the bus about like, well, Kylan's a bigger threat than me, and you know, Kylan actually has a lot of influence in this house. But it's not going to work. She's not going to drop any bombs. Like,
what can she say?
There's no Taco Tuesday in Sarah Beth, you know, like, right. So.
That's what, cause I was watching the night where they all got, you know, drunk and started talking crazy. I love that. Like 3 o'clock in the morning when they were like getting to know each other, they were all socializing. Everybody was socializing except for Kylan and Sarah Beth. They were just up in the have not room, pity partying, giving up their beers while everybody else was just downstairs having the funniest conversation. One of the funniest conversations I've watched in the Big Brother house. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing, Sarah Beth? Like, literally, she spent the whole week crying. And I just don't understand, because, you know, last week you were maniacally laughing into the camera, you know, and it's just really, I'm trying to figure out where her fight went. Did Kylan's like long monologue just like beat the fight out of her? Like, just hours and hours of talking. She's like, I give up. Because Sarah Beth started this season out just so like cutthroat, so like able to maneuver with people, you know, get into people's, you know, earworms and people's heads and stuff like that. You know, the minute she threw out Hannah's name, that's when everything crumbled for her. But I just do want to understand, where did that fighter go? You know what I'm saying? Because it just really sad to see her go out like this, not even trying. DX tried till the very bitter end, you know, and I just don't, I really want to know, like, what happened? Or is she trying to play the pity card? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was like, is this a ruse or something? I just didn't see her giving up like this. So I'm really taken aback, because last week I just enjoyed watching her make a complete fool out of herself with her HOH and talking about America, I'm sending your boy home.
America can wipe their butt with
the yes. And within 48 hours begging for some Big Brother bucks. But I wanted a little bit more fight with her that we saw last week. So I'm gonna give her a 1 as well.
A 1 from Mari. The audience, let me tell you, audience, You were so close. You were so close. The audience gave Sarah Beth a 1.54.
Oh, this wow. week. That would have been a one.
Oh, wow.
So the audience gave her a 2 overall. Wow. They almost had it, but they weren't quite there. I guess there were a couple of Sarah Beth empathizers like Jacob Jones and Mary got her up to the 2. Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Chris in the chat basically said, like, every non-cookout on the block that's sitting next to a cookout member is a 1 at this point, because they're going to go home. Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's no chance for them. It's like, even if we, like, would like to see Sarah Beth, like, try and, like, fight for her life in the game, it's like, it literally doesn't matter. The only thing that it will do is make them say, maybe we should get out Kylan first out of the 6. Like, I feel like it's like, it does not affect her position. It does not affect the fact that she's going to go home this week. It's like, all it does is maybe change her mind about Kylan going first versus going later. Like, that's it. Like, that's the problem at this point for these people that are put on the block next to a cookout member. Last week, where it was Derek X versus Claire, like, who knows what's going to happen? It really could go either way because neither of them are a cookout member. So, like, you know, it really could. They could stay depending on how they like argue their points versus this week where it's like Sarah Beth's up there with Kylan. As much as they don't like Kylan, they're not going to keep Sarah Beth over Kylan. Like, I'm sorry, that's just not happening. And even no matter what bombshell she drops, it does not matter. It just won't. So, yeah, she's a 1 from me as well. It's really unfortunate, to be honest, because I do really like Sarah Beth. I think that she's a really fun character. I get that, like, she's kind of gotten wrapped up in the whole Kylan thing. And yes, the conversations between the two of them where they're crying and sad, like, those aren't exciting. But, like, she's a very fun, like, villainess here. You know, yes. You got her literally, like, singing to the camera and laughing. And then, like, telling us to wipe her butt with our bucks or whatever. And then she's sitting there talking about, like, I'm sending your boy home. I think that is like a fun character, and I think that, like, I wish that, you know, it wasn't a situation like it is where it's like she just doesn't stand a chance, because I do think it would have been really exciting to see what she could do in a normal season where there isn't, you know, a giant alliance. But, like, I mean, I guess not normal season, that is the normal season to have a giant alliance, but right. You know, I do think that she's a fun character, a good villain, and you know, I'm honestly going to be sad to see her go. I do, however, love that I love Tiffany saying, like, you know, that she's sending Sarah Beth to the jury house, and Derek X is going to be like, who sent you? And she's going to go, Tiffany. That was so funny. I was just cracking up at her little, like, Tiffany. So funny. I just love it.
And I can't really, you know, Sarah Beth, I feel like we've seen what Sarah Beth could give us, to be quite honest. This season, cookout aside, because when her closest allies had HOH power, and her target was on the block, she was not able to get the social capital to get her target out. Even with, you know, the cookout, like, if with Hannah and Whitney still on the block, if the cookout needed to expose their votes, they could have done it. And, you know, Hannah still could have stayed. But that aside, Hannah in particular, and I think it was Kai too, were able to convince, not Kai, sorry, Xavier, were able to convince Christian that Hannah was not the target. You know what I'm saying? Like, Sarah Beth could not convince her closest allies to target the person who was targeting her. And we all said it. She should have realized at that point that her agency was very, very small in that game. And that was the next week, you know, she was on the block next to, you know, another one of her close allies. So she's played the role. I loved her villain edit. Like you said, since that Hannah week, she really on the episodes has had that, like, slow build up until last week was her, like, ultimate villain origin story, like, coming out. Like, I am, like, all in. And then even then, still, cookout aside, I mean, you know, like, the cookout never had to wield their alliance power. If you really think about it as a whole, they never had to wield it, like, in votes wise and stuff like that, because they individually were able to make things happen with their side pieces. And Sarah Beth let her her ally talk her into something that she knew was not best for her game. So I feel like I, as opposed to Claire, I feel like I've seen what Sarah Beth was capable of in this game. And that might seem reactionary. That might be, you know, people might think that's unfair to her, but I really feel like she has had a better, easier road than like, say, a Claire or a DX or even a Brittany. And she still manages to go out at this spot. She was in the King's Alliance who were dominating the first half of the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love her as a character. I think this was a great season to have her on, but I really don't think there's anything to her game that I'm missing.
Yeah. And I do think that Mari makes a good point here where she said, you know, that they never had to wield their like strength as a voting block mm-hmm. throughout this whole game. Like the cookout never had to be like, look, it doesn't matter what you guys want because we have the votes as the cookout. Like, they never had to do that. It was always like, yeah, no, the whole house is voting for this. Like they were always mm-hmm. able to convince their individual people to vote yeah. a certain way. And then that way there was no exposure. There was no like, look, like we have the votes here. You just have to suck it up like and go along with it because you're not going to get your way. It was like they were able to convince them as individuals that like, oh no, the whole house wants to do this. Oh no, we want to do this as individuals. Like everyone's on board. And I think that that's really impressive because you don't see that a lot from alliances. A lot of the times alliances, you know, are like, yeah, well, we have the votes because we're in a big alliance. And that's it.
That's how they usually were. That's the strength of a majority alliance in Big Brother is that they mm-hmm. very rarely need to use their numbers for the votes because once they have the numbers, the power that wields in the house convinces everybody else to go along. That's why everybody complains about house votes nowadays. It's because mm-hmm. these big alliances have been forcing house votes basically, you know, for many seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I do think mm-hmm. that I do feel like this is a little bit different. Because I do feel like from my perspective, at least, it seems to me that like usually the big alliance is like, hey, we're all voting this way. And then the person's like, I want to vote along with the house where it's like them as individuals are convincing their individual pawn that like, no, this is what you want. And so then they're all like, no, this is what we want. Oh, well, we all collectively make up the house. That's crazy. Okay, cool. Let's move along.
But I did a whole podcast on that like two seasons ago about how that worked because many alliances were doing that.
And that's why it's like, that's why the cookout is a remarkable alliance. But it's also not that remarkable. It's not something we haven't seen in Big Brother.
I think it's the best implementation.
Exactly. And that's why, like, I definitely agree with what Melissa was saying. It's just because, like, I always think back, I think to, Grateful. And they honestly, when they had, what was that week five, when they had that big blowout?
Well, like, it was week three when they turned on Nick, right? Like,
right. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, but people like with when they did the whole Nicole, like, oh, we're going to jump on Nicole. Like everybody knew they were that alliance. You know what I'm saying? So much to the point where Nicole and Cliff were like, we just need to hang on. We need to just hang on to be the last people. We'll find the fractures. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what you mean. Like it was out in the open. Think of BB19, Paul and his minions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like there was such an open, you know, because not only was it open with the voting and with the HOHs and you know, no power shifts or whatever like that, but like systematically isolating people who were not in their group. So you knew what time it was. You know what I'm saying? Like it is such a totally different vibe with the cookout.
That's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying is like, I think that like, yeah, the difference to me at least, like, is that like, it does feel that like, and I'm not saying this is the only time this has ever happened, but I do think that like, in comparison to some of the more recent seasons we've seen, it does feel like those are more like open, large alliances. And if you're not in it, you're on the outs. Whereas this one, it does feel like everyone feels like they're part of something. They just don't know what that something is. They don't know the true, real, like, power behind all of this, but they think they're part of something. And so they're all thinking like, as an individual, I'm going to go this way because my duo, my little alliance is going to vote this way. Oh, it turns out your little duo is voting this way and your little duo is voting this way. Oh, we're all voting this way. Yeah, let's all go along with it because it's the House decision versus like the whole House is doing this and there's this like large entity that's doing this. And so I'm on the outs, but I'm still going to go along with it because I want to make sure that like I'm still good or whatever. It's not my time to go yet. Maybe I can find an in. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like there's to me, it feels a little different. But like, I totally get that, like the structure of the cookout is like, not, this is obviously not the first time this has ever happened. Obviously. And I know that's been like a big point of contention online. It's like the cookout's doing this whole new thing and it's really not, but it is very impressive what they are doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately the tactics that they're using are textbook at this point. Yes. Like having a parachute alliance, convincing them that, you know, separately, one by one. I mean, that formula was invented by the Brigade. It was then sort of perfected and expanded by Derek and the Bomb Squad. And then was used, it was certainly used by Paul, who had his little pockets of people, as well. But part of the difference, I think, with the cookout and previous, you know, alliances that have used this formula, is that, you know, with Paul, I think, as you said, the tactics of Paul were that he would, it was a lot crueler, that they would isolate people. Mm-hmm. There were different, like, it wasn't an alliance so much as it was Paul. Like, we haven't seen, the Brigade was a four-person thing. We haven't seen the evolution of the Brigade to the Bomb Squad where it wasn't one person at the top running things. This is the Brigade in a more pure form with six people instead of four, where they're fully loyal to each other the whole way through and that they genuinely love and care for the people that they're working on, but they are more loyal to their group, which is I think the unique part of this, that they would naturally gravitate toward other people to work with, but they have something else that is binding them together and that they are more loyal to. And so instead of this being one, you know, big alliance that ultimately is good for one person who is running the show, it is a bunch of individual people who are sacrificing their own individual games for the sake of the collective, for the sake of the alliance, which, you know, again, using the same tactics that we've seen before, but for a slightly different result. And that's what for me has been very interesting about this, particular season.
Plus, I think like, it's not hard for me to watch it. Like, I feel like there have been previous seasons where it's just been like so cruel and so like just isolationist. It's been very the tactics that were used were just not, it was hard for me to watch it. I have to be honest. And this season, I love that. Like, first of all, I like everybody that's playing. Nobody in there is a bad person or anything like that. And I think that like, I like the fact that they all seem to care for each other, even when there's like, you know, obviously like little fights or when someone's being targeted, they're not like cruelly bullying them and trying to isolate them and make them feel alone before they go home. Like, there's none of that. It's always very, you know, cordial and very just, I just feel like this is the kind of show that I like, that I want to be watching, is that, you know, you've got these people who are all there to play and they're not there to just like tear each other apart. They're there to just play the game and still treat each other as people. And I just do appreciate that so much. So, you know, this season is, if you are going to have a big giant alliance dominate the season, at least it's a bunch of nice people. Like, you know, at least it's a bunch of people who are not cruel, mean, awful people. Like, if I'm going to see a big, obviously I don't love the idea of a big alliance dominating, but if I'm going to see it, at least it's people who are good people.
Yes. And I also, you know, we always keep hearing like one of the main contentions is like, oh, you know, they're forsaking their game for the cause and stuff like that, which I agree. But we also got to just also, we said it during all of these ratings. even though they are giving up maybe their positioning at the top of the alliance, or, you know, in the house for the Alliance of Six, that Alliance of Six is literally still some of the best path for most of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like, if you really think about it, you know, Kylan was in trouble week one. You know what I'm saying? He almost took a stray week one. People wanted Hannah out her week four, you know? And it's just like the six of them coming together and forming their alliance and forming this block. It really does help all of them. And I don't really care for the talk where it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, Tiffany should be going to the inn with Derek X and Claire. Like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, how is that better for her than going to the inn with the six other people? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maneuverability wise, if you're looking at, you know, her trying to outmaneuver X, then yeah, but you still have to consider that it's still a better position to be guaranteed six than something screwy happen and you go out sooner than that. And then that's just my, you know, that's just what I have to say about that portion of it. Like, a guaranteed six is still good. You know what I'm saying? Like, a guaranteed six, because they are actually sticking together and they're not turning on each other, is way better than trying to, you know, maneuver and maybe, you know, go to the inn with people who might not be loyal to you, you know. So yeah. I mean, that's just my thought process a little bit.
I don't know that I'd particularly agree with that. I mean, I think right. maybe if it was like a guaranteed four, you know, and then maybe you can win out from there. But I think playing for a position where you're not, you know, positioned well, especially if you have the ability to position yourself well.
Yeah.
Once you get to six, I think, you know, we complain every season about people who are at the bottom of their, you know, big alliance, not doing anything,
that's
just
true.
Waiting to get sixth place. So. You know, I think in particular this season, there are, you know, there are players like Tiffany is the person that had the prime position to run the game her own way. She chose to sort of like cede that power to the cookout, right?
The cookout. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when she does that, it gives like a power vacuum that, like, you know, Kylan would have been able to step into, but then he also ceded that power to the cookout. And then that provided a power vacuum that, you know, somebody like Hannah could have stepped into. And pretty much every single member of the cookout, whether or not they had the ability to run the game in that way, could have leveraged the cookout to further their own game and chose not to, and instead stick to what they're doing and, you know, try to leverage within the cookout, mm-hmm. which is, I think, part of, again, like what makes it so beautiful in a way, which is that,
yes,
you know, this is not what is in the best interest of many of the people in this alliance, for their individual game to win the game, but it is in their interest for the ultimate goal that they have. And that's what matters more to them.
And I agree, but I just also feel like, like, for instance, you know, it's hard to go back to week one, but Frenchie and Whitney, when they're making their, you know, they're planning out the whole game in the storage room, it did not include, I think it didn't even include maybe X, you know what I'm saying? It just included maybe one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, at this point, I think I said on the live feed updates very early in the season that I never imagined they would get to six. I think that the cards fell in the right direction. They were able to get people off their scent and to target other people to the point where they were like, well, at this point, we just have to run with it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm happy that they got to that. And again, also Tiffany making a conscious effort to be like, she was there. She's like, do I go with this or do I go with this? And she consciously made the effort to be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm putting all my eggs into the cookout basket for the greater purpose. And I love that for her. I just don't like I feel like the discourse around it being as if, you know, making it to the final six, you know, with your whole entire alliance intact is like horrible gameplay.
I mean, yeah, I mean, know? It's and the ratings will reflect this as well, that like getting to six is certainly a lot better than not getting to six. That is for sure the truth. All right. So here we go. That is, I did want to briefly, gone long on Sarah Beth, but what I think Sarah Beth should do is tell Xavier everything that Kylan has said about Xavier. And then maybe Xavier will be so pissed. He'll actually try to flip the vote. Anyway, let's talk about Tiffany. Let's talk about Tiffany. Tiffany, this week. Last week, the audience gave Tiffany a 7. They also gave Xavier a 7, but it was the first time ever that Tiffany was not the top-rated player. The top-rated player last week was Xavier. This week, the audience said, never mind! Tiffany's a top-rated player. And they gave Tiffany this week an 8. And she is the highest-rated player of the week from the audience. So there you go. Mari, how do you feel about Tiffany?
I love this week from Tiffany. She won HOH. She got her Beyonce CD and then it was cruelly snatched away from her. I feel her pain. And then she also got what she wanted by leveraging her ally so that she not only was able to save her nominations, but now she can also win next week. Now, you know, if she decides to throw it, I don't know, we'll see. But like, she got everything she wanted out of this week without the downside. She got the opposite of Claire. You know what I'm saying? Like, she got everything she wanted. I also think, again, you know, we're talking about how she's still looking towards the end goal. She's trying to get, Xavier and Kylan to, target each other so that she can make a path for herself. She's making inroads with Azza. You know, it's still up in the air because, you know, sometimes I hear she says she doesn't mind Claire going next week, but then she's on the bandwagon to get Alyssa out and she wants to hold for Claire. I'm not really sure. But I think, again, Tiffany is in the strongest position, like strategic wise and driving the bus, if you will, at this point. The only thing she needs to just focus on also is just trying to win more comps. I'm afraid for her for those days comp, because what I heard is she's not really good at her days. So I'm a little scared for her there. But if not, I really do think that she is, maybe I just have a lot of Micronesia on my mind, but if you can't beat them with these, beat them with these. So that's why I'm still okay with where she's at, because I really think she can. She's shown us thus far that she can really outmaneuver when she has set a path. So that's why I'm not in, like, you know, that's why I wasn't panicking when people were like, oh my God, this is so bad for Tiffany to go to the 6, you know, because I think she has a lot more tricks up her sleeve. So I just love Tiffany. I'm of course going to give her an 8 here as well. And she's just the best. I just love Tiffany.
All right. I gave Tiffany a 7 last week. She was losing Derek X. She was not able to save him. That was a big loss to her game, but she has pivoted. I continue to say, I think she's the best player in this house. And I think that she has done, some good work this week, helping, continuing to develop the relationship with Azza that is necessary for her game.
Yes.
Continuing to sink Xavier in a way. Pitting him against Kylan, and making it so that one of them has to fall and likely by the other's hands, which leaves that person vulnerable to be attacked, is a brilliant way of Tiffany getting to the end with the people that she needs to, the people that she can beat in the competitions potentially, and the people that she certainly can beat in the final two, and even people that might take her to the end with Hannah. So I like what she's doing there. I like that she has at least a couple of people willing to keep Claire until 7. Obviously, I like her chances to win the game if she makes it to the final two. I think that Tiffany is back on top this week, and I gave her an 8 as well. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, 8 for me as well. I'm very impressed with the way Tiffany's turned it around. I mean, this HOH win was really good. And then not only that, I mean, in the beginning of the week, we were like, yay, she won HOH. Oh no, it's, you know, this Coin of Destiny thing might screw everything up. Who knows what's going to happen? And then Claire wins it and keeps the nominations the same and makes it so that Tiffany can play HOH next week. I mean, it's like, are you serious? So, you know, it's great for her. Sarah Beth is going home and that's really good for Tiffany. And the fact that, you know, great, like point. You guys said, she's talking about, or she's getting people thinking about keeping Claire. And if anyone can find a way to do that and keep Claire instead of Alyssa, it would be Tiffany. So, you know, I do really think that she has the ability and the strategic chops on the power and, you know, just all around her. Like, I feel like I'm very impressed with what she's doing, and I have faith that she can, you know, do good things moving forward. So, yeah, really good for Tiffany for me.
All right. So there you go. And this is I'm seeing Hannah is talking to Alyssa right now. Alyssa is talking about a four person thing with Hannah and Tiffany and Xavier. This is great news for Tiffany. If Alyssa feels like she does not want to touch Tiffany in the event that she does win in HOH, mm-hmm. either at eight or at seven, that is just more good news for her, even if Claire does go next week. So kudos to Hannah as well for helping lock that in. Hannah keeps with these last minute things. Now I'm like, I mean, that's good from Hannah. If that had happened last minute, she would have gotten an A. All right, let's talk about Xavier. Mari, what are your thoughts mm-hmm. on Xavier?
Xavier this week, he's just, I agree with Kylan, like he gets his way and he does the minimal effort in order for it.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, he's coming off the, you know, he came off the block, he got the veto used, you know, gonna get the veto used or whatever. And so like, I mean, it's really, he's winning the battle so far. If we're getting Xavier versus Kylan prepped and ready, he's winning that battle at this very moment. He has the hearts and minds of the rest of the cookout on his side. Not to mention Alyssa, his pawn plus one, whatever, who is shown to be like, she's capable of winning. You know, she's won a few things and she's coming second a lot. So, you know, if he needs her to take that shot, she's there. He's probably one of the, you know, only people actually considering getting rid of somebody before the six, mostly because Alyssa is still there. That's why I was honestly hoping she went last week, personally. But I think Xavier is doing great. He got an eight last week. I don't think his position has changed in a sense that it's gone down. It doesn't seem that it's really risen because it was already high. So I'll just give him an eight as well. I think it's just effortless how he's really doing this, and he's cruising to a win. That is the unfortunate thing for all of us Tiffany fans out here. It does seem that Xavier is cruising for a win, but this war with Kylan, you know, you just never know which one of them could be taken out. So we'll see.
Yeah. For me, I do feel like this week has not been great for Xavier.
Whatever Taryn said, y'all.
Well, I've seen some very split opinions in the chat, and I think the rating kind of reflects this as well. There are some people that still feel very good about Xavier, that he's like a 9 out of 10. He's on his way to win this game. And there are some people who are down at like a 6 or a 7 because mm-hmm. This has not been a great week for him, because he is, you know, for me, Xavier was never a very active player. He was not somebody that I was super convinced would be able to like really lock in his position. But because Kylan was so bad and Xavier was good enough with Hannah and Azza and, you know, Tiffany, that I felt like Xavier could at least survive the first two evictions from six, that he could easily win out from there. He could still win out, but now I'm feeling like he's not safe at six because Kylan's coming for him. And I guess, as I said, Kylan's, I think, the person most likely to win at that point. And then I don't think he's safe at five either, even if he beats Kylan, because then I think some other people are coming for him, like Tiffany. And it might just be Tiffany, but it might also be Hannah. It might also be Azza. I'm not sure. Again, I don't know where their heads are at with regards to X, but, you know, a lot of people are talking about him like he's going to win this game in the house.
This is true.
That's not where you want to be. So for me, his path is looking a little shakier than it did before. I don't see him as a guaranteed endgame player anymore. He's just too easily be sniped out early. And so I'm down to a 7 this week. He could easily come back up to an 8 if he gets back into a better position, if I feel like he's more locked in with Hannah and Azza. But it's a little bit shakier for me. So, a 7 here. Melissa.
Yeah, he's a 7 for me as well, to be honest, because I do think that I'm very worried for him for this, with this whole Kylan versus Xavier thing. I feel like just last week I was sitting there saying, oh, the three guys are locked in. They're going to go together and those girls better be worried. And now from like three conversations, all of a sudden the two guys are targeting each other and, you know, they're like, I mean, X could be the first person to go out of the cookout. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's possible at this point. Originally, I mean, if you just asked me last week, I'd be like, yeah, no, there's no way he's leaving. He's not going to leave for a while. But now I'm a little worried for him because if Kylan wins HOH, I mean, why not try and get X out? You know, he's a huge threat. So I am a little worried about his position. And also the fact that he was talking about possibly targeting Alyssa first. Like, I mean, I know he probably wouldn't do that, but like, it's still like, don't even think that she's your ally. Like, just because she pointed out something out to Claire doesn't mean you need to target her. And yeah, he's probably not going to target her, but still the fact that he even was like thinking that when like he's the luckiest member of the cookout who gets to keep their person to the very end. I mean, that's great for him. So I think that I'm a little worried about like his thoughts on that, but overall it's mainly due to his little feud with Kylan. And I think that that's concerning for me. So, you know, he'll probably go up next week, who knows. But at this point, like, I do think that he's in a more precarious position than he was last week when we raided.
The chat is saying that the women are now deciding they're coming after Xavier. Do you know anything about that, Taryn?
I haven't seen them talking about going after him before Kylan. But it's definitely something that I think I've been talking about, that like, I think it is leaning in that direction. I haven't seen anything concrete. But you know, again, we'll see.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. So, the audience did go lower on Xavier this week than Tiffany, but they still went higher than last week. The audience gave him an 8 this week.
Oh,
so there you go. He's going to make that 8 from the audience. And there we go. That is the Stock Watch. We have rated the players. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, let's get through some of these other questions, then we'll take a look at the leaderboard and we'll hang out and we'll have some fun. Okay, so let's see here. Something I did this week is that it's something that I meant to do last week, but I forgot. and that is that something I've thought about. What we usually do at the end of the season is we rate all of the players overall. Not just like, you know, beholden to a week to like Claire, I gave her a 1 this week. Do I think Claire is a 1 player? Of course not. So, as each player gets evicted, I am now asking the audience, what do you think their rating should be as a player? And so we'll get an idea of what we think right now. And then once we get into the postseason, we'll be able to, give our thoughts, with more context after the season ends. So I ask the audience, now that Brittany has been evicted, how would you rate her as a player overall? The audience said a 4, 4 out of 10 for Brittany. And I think that's actually pretty appropriate. I think that she is struggling in many areas of the game, but she is not like a terrible player. I think that she has some good game sense. She clearly can win some competitions. I think 4 is a pretty good spot for Brittany.
Yeah. And she just did not have, the information to really make anything happen in this season. I mean, again, cookout aside, Brittany was not in the know for a lot of just very basic social information, from like the slaughterhouse to like the kings and the royal flush. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was just never in a position to know any pivotal information to be able to use it to her benefit. And then on top of that, you know, she won, what was it, a one veto? You know, the jokers themselves never, the poor things just never got their footing into the game. So I feel bad for Brittany, but a four does seem very, very appropriate.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. And I also asked about Derek X. Now that Derek X has been evicted from the game, what would we rate him as a player overall? The audience said seven. A seven for Derek X, which I also feel is pretty appropriate, to be honest. I think that Derek X is a player, has a lot of potential, great social game. In fact, I gave Ty, who won Big Brother Canada 9, I gave him a seven at the end of that season. And I think they're actually pretty comparable as players, mm-hmm. In that they both had very good social games, would occasionally make some questionable strategic decisions. but I think the difference is that, like, Ty had, you know, Kiefer as a mentor, and Derek had Tiffany as a mentor, which is a big difference there. But I think they have similar strengths. They're both good at competitions. Ultimately, they had great social games. Strategic game is kind of where they would occasionally be lacking. And I think that Derek X as a seven makes a lot of sense. I think he could be a lot higher if he had a lot more knowledge for the game.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Ty wasn't a recruit though. He watched the show.
I thought Ty was a recruit.
I think he was lightly familiar with the show, is my memory.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, that would make a difference for me if, like, Ty was a fan and then DX was like, you know, like this recruit or whatever. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, you know, DX then watches a few seasons, or now that he's experienced or whatever, like if you were to go back, maybe I would rate him a different thing than I would Ty. But I think I agree. I think that overall, like, I would have said, like, oh, he's higher than that. But then I just thought about, like, oh, yeah, but he did not play the, like, roulette thing. So, yeah, no, he did make questionable decisions. And I don't know. So maybe he is just a seven. I don't know. But I do think for a recruit, he picked up the game so well. Like, it would remind me of Paul when he first played. And it was like, oh, at first he didn't know anything. And then all of a sudden he was like, you know, bam, 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 like, about to win. And so I do think that, like, if Derek X came back, I think that he could be, like, amazing. But I think if we're just talking about, like, him, you know, as a player as a whole, I do think that maybe a seven, maybe an eight.
Yeah. Like, I could easily see Derek X winning a season of Big Brother.
Oh, for sure.
Not this one though.
Not this one.
All right. I asked the audience to rate the episodes, or sorry, the favorite players. We've been running a little long here. We don't need to go through every one of these, but how about the top three? We'll quiz on the top three here. Who's the audience's favorite player this week?
Tiffany.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who's the second favorite player?
Hannah.
Incorrect. Claire.
What?
They're wrong. Yeah.
Claire. Nope, they're wrong.
Now I know why so many people are upset about the one.
That's why.
Third favorite.
Hannah?
This is where I say Hannah.
Yes. Okay. And who's the audience's least favorite player in that?
Sarah Beth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Tiffany, Claire, Hannah, Xavier, Azza, Alyssa, Kyland, Big D, Sarah Beth. Kylan's still hanging in there strong. Third to last.
yeah, if that's strong.
I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week. Last week, they gave the episodes a 5.4. This week, a 5.9. I asked them to rate the feeds. Last week was a 5.1. This week, a 5.3. I asked them to rate the season as a whole so far. Last week was a 6.8. This week, a 7.0. A slight rebound, essentially. Like, yeah. It's a little bit of like a... They really hated it when Derek X was evicted, and now we're kind of like rubber banding back to a little bit of a more reasonable response to that.
Plus, I think Tiffany winning the HOH, like,
it really
was certainly, I mean, it definitely, like, softened the blow of the Derek X eviction for me, at least. Uh-huh. It was like, I was like, no, Derek X. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Tiffany. So, you know, it evened out a little.
Yes. Uh-huh. The audience gave the same exact rating for the competitions this week of 5.7. The high roller twist, they are down to a 3.1. Last week was a 3.5. They're quite low on that. And then the roulette twist, they gave a 3.7. The coin of
destiny, 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 destiny.
They gave a 2.8.
Oof. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Not great. I asked who is the best person for Tiffany to have targeted for her game, and 40% of the vote said Sarah Beth. 27% of the vote said Xavier was the better call to evict at this point. My pick would have been Alyssa.
Yeah.
And then who is the best person for Claire to have targeted for her game? 70% agree Xavier.
Xavier. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
20% Kyland, 5% Big D, 2% Alyssa, and Sarah Beth, low in these. 1.7% said Sarah Beth was the right call. Do you think the cookout will make it to the final six? Last week it was at 86%. This week 88%. So not a significant change, but
yes, they will.
And then who do you want to be evicted this week? 60% say Sarah Beth over Kyland. And then finally, who do you want to win HOH next week? 28%
Claire
say Alyssa.
Oh, why?
Claire cannot win.
Like, that seems weird.
Sorry, I forgot.
No, I totally was on the same page. I was like, that's odd. She's one of their favorites, but they want her to win HOH. What does this mean? It's like, oh no, duh, she can't win.
Well, so it was 28.47% said Alyssa, 28.13% said Tiffany.
Yeah, so that's what I want. Run it back. I don't care. I don't care if it's boring.
Yeah, it's basically Alyssa to potentially shake up the cookout. Tiffany or Azza is next to protect Claire, I imagine. And then Hannah, because maybe she protects Claire.
We don't know anymore.
That sounds about right.
All right. So those were those questions. Let's get to the leaderboard for the Stockwatch.
I don't remember what I did.
Here we go. Let's pull that up.
I did something, I think.
Okay. McFro is, I believe this is the reloaded page, still in the lead here. Went in on Tiffany, got a good return there. Followed by Toombs and then Joe in the top three. They both went in on Hannah, who I think was the best buy. But it might have been Tiffany.
I think Hannah was best buy, probably. Because Hannah went way up.
I did go in on Hannah this week, same as last week. Turned out better for me this week. got a little bit of an increase here. Almost back to the front page. Almost. Melissa decided to go in on...
not the scroll.
Azza. Oh, there you go.
So what did I get?
Hey, you went up 600 places.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
That's really good. Amazing work, Melissa, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. Mari talks too much. Yeah. I held this week because... Okay. Yes, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I cashed in my Xavier stock. And I held.
And you went down.
You went down 240 places.
I did. Yes. Because my thought process was either go in on X or Kai. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's better.
he did end up making money. This was a good week for players. There was a lot of people made money. So the holding ultimately ended up not being the call. But was the call for multiple weeks in Big Brother Canada 9. So it's not.
I saw you holding there, Ted. I didn't even know you could hold.
Yeah, I didn't know you could either.
Holding this season. So. It's fine though. And then I did that before I knew I was going to be on here, so I couldn't even massage the. No, I'm just fine.
All right. So there we go. That is the Stockwatch leaderboard. And that's about what we have for you. Melissa, any final thoughts on the week?
Not really. I think that, you know, it was exciting to have Tiffany win. And I loved the fact that, you know, even though Claire's was kind of like a thrown to her situation, I did like the fact that it was like Tiffany, Claire, and Hannah all won this week right after Derek X got out. And now the three of them are sending Sarah Beth to the jury. And I just love that Derek X will see that and be like, who did this? And it's like, oh yeah, your three allies did this. So I do feel like that's kind of a cool thing to happen. And I'm really excited to see the jury segment. So this has been a fun week in terms of that sort of element. I do think like the feeds themselves have gotten a little slow just because like there's not as much movement, especially because once the noms are locked, it's kind of like, okay, well, bye Sarah Beth, you know, there's not really much to do. But I think that as we get further or closer and closer to the end, I think it's going to get exciting. I mean, especially once we're down to just the cookout members. Like, I mean, it's every man for themselves at that point. So I'm very excited to see it. So yeah, good week so far.
All right, Mari, any final thoughts?
Yes, I do. I have long drawn out final thoughts. No, but the biggest thing I just want to say, I am so happy to see the cookout on the show this year, mostly because we have six African-Americans, black people. We got, Kylan is mixed with Mexican, from what I understand, and Hannah is also Indian. But the reason why I point this out is I love that we finally have such a diverse group of people from the same background. You know what I'm saying? Because we never get to see this. And for people who think that, all black people or African-American people or what have you are a monolith, this season really shows you that they're not. Each one of them are so weird and different in their own amazing ways. And some of, you know, they do horrendous things, but they do good things. But the biggest thing is that it's just such a diverse group of people. And, you know, it really does show the community, our community, the African American community, and how different we can all be, but also be able to unite for a single cause or for a purpose. It really is like my culture, my community encapsulated in this show. And I never thought I would ever see that. So this is one of the reasons why I love this season. Even if they had flopped on their faces, I just love seeing so many different versions of people who look like me. And I think it's very important. And it might not seem important to people who see that all the time and see it every day and see it on every TV show, but it really is important for people like us and also people who don't look like me. Cause I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there who do not come from my background or my culture who understand the importance of this as well. So I just wanted to say that I'm having such a great time watching the feeds, talking with Taryn whenever I get a chance, covering the episodes, and it's just been really great. And I appreciate being a part of this community and being a part of such an amazing and historic season and all of that.
I appreciate you being with us, Mari, because it's always fun to have you on and chat with you. So yes. Thank you, Mari. And thank you to the audience for hanging out with us here tonight. We always have fun on the round table. So thank you guys for joining us. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. And then tomorrow night, we'll have an episode. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to watch the episode with you guys. And then after the episode, we'll be there to recap what goes down on the episode. So check that out as well. And then Thursday, we'll have plenty more stuff coming your way. Again, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Hang out with me there. Or you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Mari, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. I'm also on Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. We are kind of on a little hiatus here for the Wrestling Wrap Up, but you can always go back to the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube. We have our video podcast up there for the Wrestling Wrap Up. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcast, and you do not need to know wrestling. You could just listen to me, Matt, and our wonderful guests talk about the weird craziness of wrestling. This week we have Phil Thompson on, who is currently taking a break from Big Brother. So it was so nice to, you know, pull him out of his shell and hop back on a podcast with us to talk about an amazing pay-per-view. So just check me out there. I was also on Married at First Sight with Asia and Amy. Love them. Love being able to come in and talk about Married at First Sight. So also check that out as well. And of course, I've mentioned it several times on this podcast. And if you haven't gotten to it, go check out the Micronesia Top 40 Ranking podcast, where we talked about the number four top ranked season, Micronesia, aka the Black Widow Brigade running the show, aka Survivor's feminist love story.
All right. And you can, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa. Three A's. Three. Thank you guys again for joining us here tonight. I'll see all of you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.